This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Here's Jaylen Brown. Drives to the lane. And the basket reverse. Banks it home. Smart for three. Puts it in. Marcus Smart from downtown. Throws it back out. He's going to throw it in the backcourt. Tatum comes up with it. One man to beat exchange. And he lays it in off the glass. Tatum has to put it up. Fires. And hits. There's the exclamation point. Jason Tatum with 24.
1-2 coming. Line, left field, base hit. Real Muto around third. Nimmo unleashes the throw to the plate. Too late, and the Marlins have the lead.
0-2. Struck him out swinging, breaking ball. Ball game over. Texas win.
In 2018, in a blue state like New York, marijuana shouldn't even be an issue. If there was more political courage coming out of Albany, we would have done this a long time ago.
We announced months ago that we were going to study the legalization issue precisely for that reason. I'm trying to depoliticize the issue and say, let's get the facts. We now have states that have legalized marijuana.
I called them animals the other day, and I was met with rebuke. They said, they're people. They're not people. These are animals. And we have to be very, very tough.
Clearly, our objective as a league into all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We have been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that that moment is an important moment.
Get up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Well, there he is, the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell. I don't know about, you know, we're going to talk about this a lot today, along with the legalization of pot in New York. Ruben Dias Jr. will be on today's program.
Donald Trump's, he happens to be the Bronx borough president.
That's right. Donald Trump's big meeting on Long Island yesterday. We'll get to all of that, but this is the biggest story in the city today on the cover of both papers and certainly on social media. It was all the rage last night. And
yeah, speaking of rage, you were on social media.
Yes.
I saw some of your posts.
I was about to say, I'm the one that gets it going. I got calls from Channel 11, Channel 5, like in the first 5 minutes that I started tweeting out last night. I turned everybody down, by the way. But
That's how you do.
That's right. But yeah, here's what it comes down to. Nobody won yesterday, Byrne. Nobody won because
it's really the same thing.
Right, because even though they're making players stand, they're not really, because they're giving players the option
right
of staying in the locker room.
It just won't be as much of a visual spectacle as it had been.
Unless the players just say F you when they go out
right
there and they kneel.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
At that point, the teams, not the players, because the players' union has more power than Washington, D.C., the teams will get fined. And then you get a guy like Christopher Johnson, the brother of Woody Johnson. Woody Johnson owns the Jets, but of course, he is now the ambassador to the U.K., so...
Right, the teams have the prerogative to fine the players, but Johnson...
Well, I'm saying Woody Johnson owns the team.
Yeah.
He's in England right now, so he gave control of the team to his brother Christopher Johnson, so he's running the Jets right now. And he has said that if his players do this, that he will be all too willing and almost eager to pay the fines, almost encouraging his players to go out and do what the league doesn't want them to do.
Even though not one Jet took a knee, I think, in the last couple of years.
That's correct.
Not one Jet. But this guy here saw the need to. And by the way, the vote I read was unanimous with one abstention, San Francisco 49ers. That guy decided to abstain. So the Jets voted for the policy, apparently.
That's right. That's right.
And then said, yeah, but we're going to pay the fine for the players.
Yeah.
So do you think that this Chris Johnson called his bro Woody up and said, hey, what should we do? So who gets the blame for this on the Jets?
I think, listen, there's no doubt Woody works for Donald Trump. Christopher Johnson has given tons of money to the Republican Party. So both Christopher and Woody are Trump fans. They know how Trump feels. in an effort of solidarity with the other owners. They voted for what the other owners voted for, but they still have to worry about dealing with these psychos, these big babies, these overpaid millionaires every single day. So Christopher Johnson played it safe. He's in line with the rest of the owners, so they can't get mad, but yet he's keeping his players happy, so they can't get mad.
Right. This is they're a bunch of spoiled narcissists is what
babies,
they are.
Little babies.
Nobody did anything during the offseason, any sort of social activity, any of the kneelers. Nobody did anything of note. Nobody did squat. But they want it when the camera's on them, when it's easy, when it's to be in the spotlight and quote-unquote make a statement, then they do something. Because it's there's no sacrifice there whatsoever. So that's why we're not impressed at all. If it offends the veterans and the active military guys, well, then it's offensive. But again, they're not really into doing something. They're just either throwing a little temper tantrum or acting like the spoiled narcissist that they are.
It's funny, you go back and forth with some of these folks who are all for it, and they're like, well, listen, this is what the soldiers fight for. And I really haven't heard soldiers, so I go on social media, I go, well, hold on a second. Bernie and I had Johnny Jones on. He lost his limbs in Afghanistan. He's sick about it. We had Carl Higbee on. He doesn't like it. We had Kevin Lease on. He doesn't like it. So I start to list folks that have served in Afghanistan, in Iraq, that have come on this show and talk specifically about how disappointed they are with the players. And the folks who disagree with me say, yeah, but I can give you 10 examples of guys that served and are totally okay with it. So what's your point? Well, my point is, even if you upset one of those guys, even one, why is that okay? Why should some overpaid football player insult or upset even one man or woman that is putting their life on the line every day for this country? Why is even one okay?
And as you point out on social media, it's not a free speech First Amendment issue at all. It's not. You're an employee working for an employer. There are certain rules. You couldn't stand on the sidelines and wear a Palestinian flag on your sleeve.
Are you sure?
Right. Or you couldn't wear the jersey of your college team or whatever it is. You just can't do it. So it's not about free speech because they're working for somebody. You could do something somewhere. It's not a Constitution thing. And on the other side, they're not happy at all either. I don't know what you call it, a compromise. I wish they had stuck with either you eject the guy, or I love the 15-yard penalty to start the game. If that do some sort of some pay some sort of hardship suffered by the team collectively.
Yeah, but a 15-yard penalty to start the game. I mean, really, you think that's not a hard punishment? Maybe if it comes down to a game-winning field goal, push him back 15 yards. Or, I mean, to me, the punishment is so lame.
Well, you would have the other players on the team would be pissed. There would be that. That's what they do in the military as a unit. If one guy screws up in training, they make everybody pays.
No, I know.
And so in this case, you would have peer pressure. Hey, man, you're costing us 15 yards.
At the beginning of the game, though. There's no pressure at the beginning. In other words, if they did it in the fourth quarter, let's say the opposing team doesn't have any kneelers and you have a kneeler, and they get to choose when, in fact, you are penalized 15 yards.
Even better.
But the fact that they're going to open the game with a 15-yard penalty, nobody's going to get pissed.
How about
nobody's going to care?
I got a better proposal. 15-yard penalty, first, second, third, and fourth quarter. Every time you get the ball the first time in the quarter. Let's go with that. Whatever it is.
Fine.
That gets everybody's in the game. Your teammate is doing something that is unacceptable, and as a team, you're going to suffer. I think that might put a stop.
No, I agree with you. But this doesn't do that. Not even close.
No, this doesn't. This is another. Well, it's just something to try to stop the bleeding is what it is. And Roger Goodell really had no say in this, right? This is just an NFL owner thing.
Well, listen, don't forget Roger Goodell, right? He works for the owners. The reason why he got a new contract extension is because even though ratings were down last year in the NFL and sales of jerseys were down, revenue was up, folks. They went from $13 to $14 billion. And as long as this league makes money, guess what? Roger Goodell, he's an asset. So he got a contract extension, even though all this noise has been going on in and around him. The owners want him there to make money, and they're still making money.
That's right. There are some questions also, like, for example, how do you define showing respect? I mean, if they go out there and they stand up and they start talking to each other and laughing, which, by the way, they used to do prior to any of this kneeling stuff, used to piss me the hell off. But they could still do stuff like that. They could still scratch their groin during the nat. You know, I mean, what constitutes disrespect? It's very subjective.
Yeah.
You could be rolling your eyes or looking pissed off or whatever it is. It's kind of fuzzy. It's not the answer. And again, you're still going to have these guys. They're going to take account. You know, they're going to every Monday morning. You're going to have, you had 14 guys stayed in the locker room yesterday during the national anthem.
There's no doubt that becomes part of the Monday morning conversation. You're right. Even maybe before first downs, touchdown passes, and fumbles, we'll talk about that. Then you get an idiot like Mike Lupica, who I can't stand. Never liked Mike. And I know Imus, of course, caved into Lupica because he wanted Lupica to write a story about him, even though Lupica stabbed Imus in the back. And I never liked him. He was always to me, he'll do whatever he has to do, say what he has to say. He's got no loyalties, dishonest.
Well, he's
just your suck-up pussy liberal. That's what Mike Lupica is.
He's the Morning Joe of the New York Daily News.
Yeah.
He's totally morphed into a radical leftist. Let Herman Bell vote because, well, it's his right. One of those types of guys now, like Morning Joe, totally sold out just so he would fit in on MSNBC. This is Mike Lupica, yes, who has the front page of the New York Daily News, as you say, Sydney, with an NFL dishonors the flag and totally owners a national disgrace, ruining the First Amendment rights of the players, and blah, 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 blah. The usual pap, garbage, pandering crap that ignores some of the harder issues here, which is offending some of the veterans, the military servicemen, and the fact that this police brutality, a canard, is some sort of national epidemic. No, we know what's happening out there. We know it's not right when it does happen. But to paint all cops like that, which is what this does, is not right either.
Well, not only does he say NFL dishonors the flag, and it reads, league reveals its true colors by banning players from protesting police brutality. They've got a picture of a kneeler, the red, white, and blue, and the stars of the American flag. And they've got the names, Tamir Rice, Eric Harris, Freddie Gray, Eric Garner, Philando Castillo, all the folks that, in fact, were killed by police. Their names are on the front of today's Daily News to really drive home the points. You got Lupica, who's full of crap, and then the biggest racist columnist in the country, Karan Phillips, out of Atlanta, who also has his columns in the New York Daily News, who's just a flat-out racist. They got two paid spreads in today's paper, one Mike Lupica and the other Karan Phillips. If there's a bigger piece of garbage rag in the country than the New York Daily News, I want somebody to tell me what it is.
Remember the kid that was killed by the cop in Arizona? He was on his knees crying?
Yeah.
Well, his name is not on this
list.
No
one talks about that guy.
His name is not on this list. No. Why? Because he's a white
kid. He was white. Yeah.
Look, there are bad cops that sometimes in impossible situations who do the wrong thing. And sometimes even worse, it's not just that they're in a bad circle. They're just bad cops, like the guy that killed a kid in Arizona.
Right.
But it's not an epidemic like they're trying to portray. I'm surprised that they don't have, what's his name, from Ferguson's name? The kid.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Michael Brown,
see Michael Brown on there.
Yeah, done.
I don't see
what
it.
Happened?
Maybe it's on the next page.
Yeah. They whined about that for a long time and used him. He was the poster boy for...
Right. Meantime, he was a
police
thug
victims,
and
exactly.
A criminal and a lowlife. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Four great guests today and all these topics, including this one. Phones are open. Bernie and Sid on a getaway Thursday. We're coming back right after this.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Juliette Huddy with your politically charged ladies' entertainment report. Starting with Fox's bleach blonde babe lightning rod, Tommy Lahren, who will not be pressing charges, apparently, against a woman who attacked her with a glass of water. So apparently, Lahren was having brunch with her parents over the weekend in Minneapolis when fellow diners, presumably liberal, started heckling her. Here's a little bit of it. Well, I basically had to cut it off because of some F-bombs that were being thrown around. Okay, fair enough. You know, she's controversial. She kind of invites this type of thing. But, you know, like I said, out of the blue, a woman throws a glass of water at Lahren. It hits Lahren's mom as well. that's overboard and guttural. But sources tell TMZ Lahren has decided she's not going to pursue the matter criminally, and so neither will police. Meantime, President Trump showing his adoration yet again for all that is Fox, tweeting yesterday, "Everybody is with Tommy Lahren, a truly outstanding and respected young woman at Fox and Friends." Of course, he had to get that one in there. And speaking of liberals, apparently wanting to ease comfortably into things, very comfortably, comedian Michelle Wolf, who, of course, caused a ruckus at the White House Correspondents' Dinner for her jokes about Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, well, she chose The View for her first live interview. The thing is, Meghan McCain was there, and, of course, she jumped right into the grilling. The two went at it a bit, but I don't know. It just wasn't really as bad as I thought it might get. To people who were offended, thinking that Michelle Wolf was attacking Sanders' appearance, Wolf says she thinks that says more about them. She's like, no, 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 you have to listen to the joke. I wasn't talking about her appearance. You immediately thought that. So that says, you know, what do you think of Sanders' looks? That's kind of where she went.
Did she apologize for what she said about Serena Williams?
I didn't see that she did.
No, but I did.
Yeah, I know that. I know. But she gets a pass? Is that what I'm to understand?
I didn't. I got fired.
I guess you could look it up. Yeah. You probably don't know, even know.
No, I do know what you're talking about, but I don't believe that it was mentioned on the show yesterday.
Good. So some people get a pass.
You want to explain it?
Get a pass? Is that? No, I don't want to explain anything. I just want to know if she made an apology yet.
This whole conversation is very uncomfortable for me. Just, you know.
Okay, so we're moving right along. Nothing to see here.
No, Sydney, your conscience is clear. You took care of what
I did.
You did.
I apologize. I apologize to her father.
She has not.
Right.
Well, maybe she'll go back on The View, and that was too much of a you know, toasty little warm, comfy place.
Maybe Imus will call her and tell her to apologize like he did with me.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
I'm going to wrap this up now. That's Entertainment 77 WABC when New York comes to talk.
You are waking up 6:30 on your Thursday morning here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Thank you, Jules. So every Thursday afternoon, Bernie, because I still have a monster fan base in South Florida, I did work there for 10 years, three different stations.
Let's face it, you were the king of Miami.
I was.
No doubt about it.
And I still go on when I can down there because I have designs one day when I'm very, very old of going back and like doing a show on Hollywood Beach just to make a couple of bucks. So I have a good buddy. His name is Andy Slater, and he does an afternoon show on 9:40 a.m. The Animal. How funny is that down in South Florida? It's a clear channel station.
I'm offended. Go ahead.
They've got the Marlins baseball team. So I'm on his show every single Thursday. I'll be on later on today. And it turns out my friend Andy made the New York Post today. And our very good friend Andrew Marchand's column seems that Andy has aggravated Derek Jeter to the point where Derek Jeter revoked his media pass. So we'll talk to Andy Slater in about 10 minutes about that. But more importantly, the folks want to talk about the NFL kneeling news. Let's go right to the phones, Bernie. Garrett, Smithtown, Long Island, line one. Good morning, Garrett.
Good morning, gentlemen. On the eve of Memorial Day weekend, we're talking about standing for the national anthem. It's absolutely incredible.
You know, that's funny you bring that up. Right? I mean, right. We're supposed to, in 3 days, actually pay homage to all the brave young and men and women that dedicated their lives to our freedoms, and we got overpaid baby football players crying that they got to stand for the national anthem. That is a great point, Garrett.
Well, listen, you know, I got to tell you something. Last night I was sitting there channel surfing, and I came across the show A Football Life, and who did they have but Pat Tillman? Now, this guy died 14 years ago, gave his life to this country, gave up football. He was about to sign a $9 million contract and decided he wanted to be a Ranger and fight for this country. One of the questions in the documentary was, how amped up are you before a game? And he smiled and said, you know, it's not that big of a deal. He says, what about the national anthem? His eyes just went totally up. And he said, the national anthem, I'm about 11. And they said, you know, this guy died so many years ago. There are players who probably don't even know who this guy is. They should show this documentary to every football player when they come into the NFL and say, this is respect for the United States, and this is the respect we want for the NFL.
Excellent point. Excellent call, Gary. Yeah, today is the day two, actually, of Fleet Week. So we have a bunch of Marines and sailors roaming around the city. Jill should run down and grab a seaman or two and bring them up.
Seaman?
Oh, I love grabbing seamen.
But look, if you want to be, that's a great call and a point by Garrett. If you want to be a social justice warrior, put your money where your mouth is. Run for office, become a lawyer, get a job on CNN, do something. Don't stand there and grandstand on the sidelines in a sport, by the way, which we're trying to get away from, politics and racial tension.
Yeah.
Let's all get along on the field.
You know, you're right. But there are people that say, well, if you want to get away from it, don't play the national anthem. Why do you have to play it? And I was a guest on Dr. Dahlia's show in Las Vegas yesterday. And we're talking about the Vegas Golden Knights, how exciting it is to win the Stanley Cup. By the way, the Capitals won in Tampa Bay last night, so it's Washington, Vegas. Talking about LeBron James in Boston, all these things. She said, you're a big sports fan. I said, yes, I watch everything. She said, do you have one memorable sports moment? And this goes directly to this story. For the folks that say you don't need to play the national anthem like Lupica, nobody cares. My favorite sports moment was sitting in the stands in Tampa, 1990, Super Bowl 25, when the Giants would eventually go on to beat the Buffalo Bills 20-19, and Bill Parcells would win his second Super Bowl as coach of the Giants. My favorite sports memory ever was sitting in the stands before the game started and watching and listening to Whitney Houston sing the national anthem during the Gulf War time.
Who can forget that?
No touchdown passes.
Nope.
No home runs.
That was the moment.
That was it. So don't tell me that as a sports fan, for some of us, the national anthem,
it's very, very meaningful.
Yes.
Giovanni from Brooklyn, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning, Giovanni.
Guys, good morning. I commend you on your positions on the subject.
Thank you.
I have a couple of comments. First of all, everyone needs to remember this whole thing started with Colin Kaepernick about Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot.
That's right. Did it start with him or did it precede that?
Well, I don't know, but I believe it was around that time. That was like the big focus.
Yeah, remember LeBron James came out on the court too wearing a...
Dude, remember the four guys...
LeBron James came out like Derrick Rose and a ton of others wearing the I Can't Breathe for Eric Garner. That was for Garner.
All right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Giovanni.
Okay, but you know what? Eric Garner should not have resisted arrest, whether it was right or wrong. When the police tell you to do something, most people, they obey what the police is saying, even if they're not happy, because if you fight, you're going to get hurt.
You know, there's actually another incident, a Milwaukee Bucks player, same thing. Look, it escalated. It should have been just a ticket, but this guy, and they don't even, in the most of the accounts, they don't mention that he parked not only in a handicap spot, but he parked a perpendicular, and he took up three spots. He rolled up in front of a Walgreens, took up three spots, and then he wouldn't take his, when the cops said, would you please take your hands out of your pockets, he said no, and that made the situation escalate, whatever. So, yeah, comply is A, just comply. Listen to the police, and that kind of crap's not going to happen to you. But you even have this incident out there being distorted. They don't mention the fact that he parked in a handicap spot, perpendicularly taking up three spots. The distortion, it would have happened to you and me if we parked in three handicap, and we had our hands in our pockets, the cops would take them out. Would have happened to any one of us. Hey, let's go one more. Max from New Jersey, Sydney, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning, Max.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, good.
So I decided to take my own fight on with these guys. I buy all these stickers. There's a big little flag on it, and it says, I don't kneel. I'm handing them out. I'm getting them out there. I think everybody should do that. I want to see it on everybody's vehicle. And if you guys want them, I'll send them to you, too.
Good. Give them to all the guys that park at Giant Stadium who are yelling and screaming this morning and are still going to show up, by the way, 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings for Giants football. That's the problem. You see, we get so upset because Goodell is a coward. He is. And the players are spoiled babies, and they are. And the players, even though they may have a cause, are lazy, which Bernie always points out, and they are. And we're all pissed off. But guess what? Come 9 o'clock Sunday morning, come September, we're all going to be ready for football. All of us. I admit it. I'm as hypocritical as the next guy. That's the problem.
But we're still going to have this cloud, this topic, this discussion, this rancor, this division. It's so effing annoying.
It is.
Which, I mean, we just want to enjoy football.
Right.
Really.
Right.
And again, the social justice problems that are out there, whatever the hell it is, there are other ways to take care of it. Leave it off the damn field, please. I'm begging you.
Bernie's right. We'll take a short break when we get back. He is the afternoon host at 9:40 a.m., the sports animal down in Miami. Good buddy of ours. We'll talk more about this and how Derek Jeter went from New York tough guy to Miami wuss. Andy Slater is next.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Billy Joel Classic, Miami 2017, 6:47 on your Thursday morning, the Bernie and Sid Show, which, by the way, we're off after today. You'll get Russ and Juliet. We'll be back on Tuesday. Coming up later, Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. Bernie wants to legalize pot in the worst way, so.
Bernie? Well, you know, it's complicated, so. And ironically, Ruben Diaz's dad, Ruben Diaz Sr., who was a city council member in New York City, he's against legalism.
Right.
So the two of them are at odds. We'll try to...
make it worse.
We'll try to have a family a feud.
Right.
Or worse, yes.
So we'll talk about pot with the Bronx Borough President. Brooklyn Chase will be in studio in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get to the Donald Trump MS-13 meeting yesterday. But we are talking about the kneeling in the National Football League that's on the cover of both local papers here in New York this morning. The Jets, Christopher Johnson, has come out and said, listen... If they do it, they kneel, I'll pay for it. We want to get to that, as well as another story involving former Yankee great, the beloved Derek Jeter. For as much as he's beloved here in New York City, Bernie, by New Yorkers, he's despised by most folks down in Miami.
Really?
Yes. And with that said, my next guest, I'm on his show every Thursday, including today, does a great job hosting. It used to be The Animal, now it's WINZ 940 AM down in Miami. Bernie, say hello to the great Andy Slater.
Hello, Andy.
Hey, Bernie, how are you? You know, there's not too many people I would get up so early in the morning for, but you guys, you're on the short list.
Oh, we are honored, man, and on an ISDN line,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's got one of those.
How do you like this?
By the way, it's us and maybe some 18-year-old girl in Costa Rica. Is that fair to say?
Come on, Andy, fess up. Colombia.
Oh, he was just in Medellin last week.
Yeah, we know what time it is, Andy. We know. Did I call him Andy? Jason, I'm sorry.
No, it is Andy.
No, it is Andy, yeah. Okay.
Andy Slater.
Right, yeah, Andy Slater. Yeah.
So, Andy, get to this story. You want to get your opinion, too, on the kneeling in the NFL. Andrew Marchand is a good buddy of Bernie and mine here in the New York Post. He writes about us all the time. And somehow or another, you down in Miami made the New York Post today. Something about Derek Jeter. What is that all about?
Well, they took away my media credentials. You know, I've been credentialed with the Marlins. I've been covering the Marlins for quite some time here in South Florida. And all of a sudden this year, you know, new ownership took over and new people in the front office. And they limited my access towards the beginning of the season. They wouldn't let me in the clubhouse. So I was trying to figure out what was going on with that. Then I went to the British Virgin Islands to investigate a story. Because as you may have heard, the Marlins claimed that they were a citizen of the British Virgin Islands in a lawsuit, which is quite phenomenal. That was a story broken by the Miami Herald. So I said, you know what? Some journalist is going to go to the British Virgin Islands to check this out. Why not be me? So I went ahead, booked a flight, went over there on a very small plane with one pilot. Thank gosh I landed there and found out that, there was a post office box and it was for their company. And once that happened and I was there, they revoked my access.
Well, what are you causing trouble
yeah,
for?
How dare you?
What's the matter with
well,
you?
Well,
you stay out of it.
You're not the typical obsequious sports reporter kissing the team's ass.
You're Gerardo Rivera trying to find a mob?
What are you, Woodward and Bernstein?
We wound up meeting about this afterwards because I said, look, let's get somewhat on the same page here, figure out what's going on, and let's move forward. And in that meeting, their VP of communications actually said to me, he says, you know, what other team would you go to another country to investigate something for? And I said, well, you know what? No other team in South Florida is claiming they're a citizen of another country.
That's kind of bizarre. I mean, a team is a citizen? It doesn't even make sense. But you found out that they were. So that what happened? This guy, who was it? The VP of communications? He barred you from the team press conferences.
Yeah, well, the VP of communications took away my access, and I applied for a couple of games and was denied both games. And then, like I said, we met. And the worst part here is after we met, a couple of weeks had gone by. They came back home. I could have been approved very easily. But I got a text message from him saying, look, I'm all on board for resetting and building a relationship, but I'm denying you a credential today.
Wow.
Well, if you're on board to reset and, right. and build, then right. why are you going to deny me a credential?
Well,
if he would have approved me there, then I wouldn't be on with you today talking about this.
In all fairness to the Marlins, Andy Slater joining us, 9:40 a.m. I'll be on his show later on today.
Yes.
It wasn't just a trip to the British Virgin Islands. I mean, you know, whether it's on Twitter, you're very tough on Jeter and the Marlins, on your radio show.
Oh.
And by the way, your station does have the Marlins on your station. You're quick to point out 300 people showed up. There's more people in my studio this morning than at a Marlin game. So let's be honest. It's not like you're very nice to the team. Derek Jeter doesn't like that.
Okay, but hold on a minute. You say tough, I say fair. And if there's let's say 3,000 people in the stands, or they get rid of all the players, I mean, whose fault is that? I'm not like other guys who are going to just tweet only about minor league baseball players and how great things are. I mean, being fair, they're a bad baseball team, even though they just beat the Mets again last night. Sorry about that.
How dare you, man? No. Hey, listen, though, to be serious, you're keeping it real. You're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And again, if this is true, Derek Jeter is a spoiled crybaby, but how do you know that this came from Derek Jeter himself?
Well, I don't, you know, and I wish I would know, but I haven't been told. What's crazy is I'm reading these articles. I'm reading the New York Post, and I spoke to Andrew because, you know, he talked to me. I'm reading the Miami Herald. This was actually on Fox News, not Fox Sports, but Fox News.
Ooh.
And they're giving statements to the national media about me, but they're not talking to me. I haven't heard anything from them at all. So,
but listen, even if Derek Jeter is not directly involved here, that was a great question, Bernie. Even if he's not, give the fans up here, because he's still beloved here, even though Didi, by the way, has been a pretty good player. Give the fans a feeling of how Miami fans feel about Derek Jeter in contrast to the Yankee fan.
Well, let me put it to you like this. The former owner of the Marlins was Jeffrey Loria, and Jeffrey Loria was the most hated person here in South Florida.
Right, just to give you a little taste of it, Bernie, Jeffrey Loria in Miami is akin to like Fred Wilpon and James Dolan here. That's how Phil Jackson, that's how deep the hatred goes. Go ahead, Andy, I'm sorry.
So, no, it's okay. So he was so hated here, Jeffrey Loria. You want to know how people think of Jeter? Yeah. I hear people now asking or saying, wow, maybe we want Jeffrey Loria back.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that kind of sums it up. Now, what he did with the team, you know, as far as all of that and getting rid of the players and rebuilding, I think that needed to be done because the Marlins weren't winning. But everything going on around the team besides that, it's just all negative. There's not a whole lot of positive things. Maybe they do some things in the community, sure, but you know, it's just a lot of negativity around this team, and they have two World Series titles, and you would never even know it.
Well, it does seem, just on the surface, that Derek Jeter did pick on the bones of the Marlins. Again, the aforementioned trade with the Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees. Do you think that Derek Jeter colluded with the Steinbrenners and Brian Cashman to screw the Marlins and help out the Yankees?
I wouldn't say colluded, but as a lot of people know, you build relationships and you're more comfortable dealing with teams. So obviously he's comfortable with the Yankees, and that was probably an easier way to go with
That's a yes. That's a yes.
Yes. We'll take it.
Hey, listen, 60 seconds to
Special
go.
Special counsel for Derek Jeter. Colluded.
What's funny about Florida is he got two major franchises owned by New York guys. For example, the hockey team, the Florida Panthers, owned by Vinny Viola, who, of course, is very successful up here, and Donald Trump nominated for Secretary of the Army. The football team is owned by local real estate billionaire up here, Stephen Ross. He owns the Dolphins. And Mike Tannenbaum used to run the Jets. He runs the Dolphins. The whole kneeling thing, Andy, in 60 seconds or less, Steve Ross has not been tough on that. Neither has Mike Tannenbaum has been tough. What do you think about the Dolphins moving forward with this, and how do the fans in Miami feel?
Well, I'm going to find out today how the fans in Miami feel, because it's all fresh and new, so I'm going to be talking about it on my show, and you're going to be joining me, like you said, so I look forward to discussing that with you as well. Stephen Ross, he goes out to the public a lot. He'll go to the media, which reaches the public, and he'll say things that he probably shouldn't be saying. So I don't know about any new comments from Stephen Ross, but as far as I can understand, this is all going to be handled in-house. If a player kneels or sits and doesn't stand during the anthem, the team is going to be fined, and then the fines will be passed along if they want to the individual players. So I got to get some reaction from South Florida today. You know, when it comes to politics and sports, it's wishy-washy. So you don't really know if you're going to get the truth from some of the fans. Because as I was listening to you guys earlier, they're still going to show up. They can bitch and all that, but they're still going to be there 9 o'clock right. to go tailgate and enjoy the game.
Yes, Andy Slater from 940 AM WINZ down in Miami.
Chili!
Hey, listen, watch your back down there, bro. You cross Derek Jeter, you don't know what will happen.
Be in the Everglades. Hey, Andy, great job.
Yes, thank you, though, Andy.
Talk to you later on today, pal. Thank you.
You got to take care.
Great job. All right. Andy Slater, we'll take a short break. 7 a.m. hour with Bernie and Sid right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
So we're still going to take your phone calls on the whole NFL story again. If you don't want to go out for the national anthem, you don't have to. If you decide to and still take a knee, your team will be fined. And owners like Christopher Johnson of the lousy Jets not only have had a crappy team basically for 50 years, but the owners are crap too. They say they will gladly pay for the players' fines because they believe in the protest and all that nonsense. So if you want to call about the NFL, that's fine. By the way, the weather's going to be great here. Two of the best teams in baseball coming to the Bronx starting tomorrow. The Angels over the weekend, and then the World Series champion Houston Astros in the Bronx starting Monday. So Yankee baseball, great weather and great teams. Mets are on the road. They start a four-game set in Milwaukee against the Brewers later on tonight. We also have game 5 tonight, Rockets and Warriors. The Celtics win last night. They're now up 3-2 on Cleveland. Boston, by the way, Bernie, on that parquet floor you love, 10-0.
That's right.
In the playoffs.
Friday night, baby. Friday night.
Could be over.
It's going to come down to that. They could win on the road, but maybe it would be more fitting for them to win on Sunday back on the park.
Well, every team has won the home game so far in that series. That's why I guess the regular season does matter. And amazingly, a road team, the Washington Capitals, they get a win last night. They move on to the Stanley Cup, which is good. Alex Ovechkin's one of the best players in the history of the league. He gets his first chance in 13 years to play for the Cup. It'll be the Capitals and Vegas in the Stanley Cup Finals. But the NFL stuff still on the table. A big meeting yesterday in your hood, Bernard, on Long Island.
Out in Strong Island, Bethpage, Nassau County. Big Hood hosted... Big meeting, I should say, hosted roundtable by the President of the United States. Second trip to Long Island to fight, speaking of scourges, this MS-13 scourge out there that we're victimized by, mostly Latino youth, let's face it. That's the kind of bigot that this president is. He cares about the Latino youth that are dying and by the scores out there. There are hundreds of kids have been dead or missing over the last four or five years. Hundreds of kids, literally. Some of them hacked. Machetes. All that. Yeah. But Sid, I have to address this. Just before we move on to that, we're going to cover that the hell out of that. We had Lee Zeldin on, who also happened to call for a special prosecutor, special counsel, into the behavior of the deep state, the Department of Justice, the FBI, in their behavior and what they did, exonerating Hillary Clinton for political purposes. I'm sure of it. I'm sure they were, and to frame and set up the president. And it turns out that they were spying on the president. Now, nobody's even disputing this now. They call him an informant. You call him an informant. Everybody else calls him a spy, whatever. Anyway, this is what James Clapper, Juliet played it in the news, but to listen to what Clapper said about that spy.
What it was about was trying to determine what the Russians were doing. Were they trying to gain access, infiltrate a political campaign? Didn't matter which campaign. And it had nothing to do with spying on the campaign per se. It was about the Russians.
About the Russians. So they spied on Trump to protect him from the Russians. And there was more. There was like there was maybe three spies, but whatever. That one that we're talking about definitely happened. They'd spied on Trump to protect him. Now,
That's the professor.
That's the English professor. And maybe a couple of other incidents. And they spied on about 7 or 8 people. However, if they spied on Trump, why didn't they just warn the Trump campaign and say, listen, the Russians are coming after you. Be careful. We're going to do this, that, and the other to help you to find out to get these guys. They didn't do that. They spied. And why didn't they spy on the Hillary Clinton campaign to protect her?
Because they're lying.
Because they've been caught red-handed.
That's right. It doesn't make any sense. They've been exposed.
That's it. So now in an effort to make it seem like, wow, you know, yes, but
They're lying.
But this is a big deal. This is the current administration engaged in political espionage. You don't know how huge this is. Bigger than Watergate.
Oh, God.
Unprecedented. And they're calling it the boomerang scandal that started out with them, of course, investigating Trump. And now the investigators are being investigators. The deep state, they're on the hook. It's an incredible turn of events. You got these guys, Comey, Clapper, Brennan. These guys are all freaking out, panicking. They're going to be on the hook. And this is just the beginning.
On the hook for what?
I know. Believe me, I know.
Oh, come on. Enough of this nonsense.
Somebody described it last night as a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. It makes your head hurt. I'm just telling you right now.
It's not even about making your head hurt. I mean, I want to get as excited as you, but I've been doing this for almost 3 years. It's all nonsense. Hillary Clinton's not going to prison. Never was. Bill de Blasio's not going to prison. Never was. All these guys that are involved in all these really questionable activities, we get all crazy. We got them. Here it is. This is a huge story. And for 3 years, nothing's been a huge story.
It's taken a long
nothing.
Time. Understood. Your frustration is well placed.
I'm not frustrated. I can't get excited.
I am. Very, very frustrated.
But I have patience. Nothing happens.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Nothing happens. But it's turning around. It's like turning an aircraft carrier around. Trump's been cleared.
I wish I believe that.
Well, you know now that there's no collusion. A year ago, you couldn't say that. You know now.
Right.
And now we know that they spied. Remember Trump put out the wiretap? I've been wiretapped or whatever it was. Well, it turns out that happened. He was surveilled. His people were surveilled. It turns out that was happening. And how far up the chain did it go is the question.
So here's my question to you. Is Obama going to be in trouble? Is James Brennan going to be in trouble? John Brennan,
absolutely.
What's going to happen to him?
He's freaking out.
What's going to happen to him?
Well, let's wait and see, Sid.
What could happen to him?
He could be executed. And we hope that happens. Because he's a mealy-mouthed punk. Who's shooting his fat suck hole off, and he's panicking like crazy right now.
I hate him.
Comey even came out of his hole yesterday, and he started calling Trump a liar. I mean, this is guys like that, usually they sit back and let Trump make a fool of them. He's getting to them, and the investigation is getting closer to them, especially with the revelation of this spy, and they know it.
Yeah, but you can't trust Rosenstein. All these people
I know.
To do anything to Brennan or Comey?
Well,
they're one of them.
Just be patient, my friend. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let me ask you this. Are they going to get rid of these guys? Bring in new people?
Well, it depends on what they do. There's a big meeting today
right.
with Rosenstein and some of the congressional people. We'll see what happens. But you have action being taken. We talked to Lee Zeldin yesterday. Who was at the Bethpage meeting yesterday? Though he wasn't sitting next to the president like our guy... Congressman Peter King.
Yeah. That was very impressive.
Yes. He was
very.
The president sitting between Congressman King and the mother of one of the victims of this horrific attack. She was murdered viciously by MS-13. Anyway, the president, he said this at that meeting yesterday.
I called them animals the other day, and I was met with rebuke. They said, they're people. They're not people. These are animals. And we have to be very, very tough. That you catch them, you write up a little piece of paper that's meaningless, and then you release them. And they go all throughout the country, and they're supposed to come back for trials. They never come back.
You know,
that's catch and release.
He's right.
It's got to be changed.
He's right. There were still people standing outside, by the way. A lot of people holding up signs what a racist and bigot Donald Trump is. It's just hard to believe.
Here he is trying to protect young Latino kids that nobody cared about. That MSNBC said their perpetrators that killed them was a figment of Fox News' imagination. He's trying to protect them because they're mostly the victims, by the way, of the MS-13 creeps. And you have these idiots out there. They're brainwashed, and they're sick in the head with hatred. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Even that's turning around. But the mother of one of the victims was sitting to Trump's right, and she said some very emotional things yesterday. It's heartbreaking, but she was also at the State of the Union. This is what she said.
My daughter, Kayla, was a beautiful girl. She had dreams, and they took that away from her. You said the other day that these individuals are animals. You're correct. They are animals, and how they kill, how they get these kids, and they tortured them.
You know what, protesters? Suck it. Listen to that lady. Yeah. Listen to the mom of a victim
of MS-13 animals. I mean, how dare you argue with that lady?
I don't get
how
it.
How dare you?
Well, to me, it's no different than arguing with a serviceman or woman who's insulted by kneeling with the NFL. Unless, of course, you're a serviceman and you think it's okay. But like I say, even if you insult one, that doesn't seem right to me. So if, in fact, you've got a mom here who's buried her daughter, why argue with her? Well, what is your point?
I mean, the president's there to fight a vicious gang infestation on the island.
Right.
And you're protesting the guy? I mean, and of course, look, this is the Joy Reid clip.
He gives a speech tonight in which he makes it sound like the biggest issue in the United States, the biggest threat is MS-13, a gang nobody that doesn't watch Fox News has ever heard of.
You're a moron. You should have been fired years ago anyway, Joy Reid.
Gay-hating, racist idiot,
yeah.
A bigot, apparently doesn't care about Latino kids. And by the way, you can do a million. This president's doing a million things at the same time. He's multitasking.
Right.
He crushed ISIS. By the way,
big news out of North Korea today. North Korea has come out and said, because they've been wobbly the last couple of days, and now we're wondering if the June 12th summit in Singapore is even going to happen. Breaking news, New York Post, North Korea has dismantled their nuclear test site.
They dismantled it. Nobel Peace Prize.
There's a win for Trump. And by the way,
boy.
Talking about Fox News, I've had enough with Brian Kilmeade.
I know.
I'll tell you why.
This is sticking in your
craw. You can't let them get you down.
Entertainment news.
Hello, I'm Juliette Huddy with the latest on Hollywood's ever-growing list of hashtag MeToo targets. We're going to start with the poster boy. Looks like disgraced Hollywood hotshot Harvey Weinstein's day of reckoning is getting closer and closer. The Wall Street Journal reporting federal prosecutors have reportedly launched a criminal sex investigation into the producer. This is in addition to a newly launched probe by Manhattan's district attorney, along with investigations by authorities in Beverly Hills, Los Angeles, and London. At least 80 women have now come forward with accusations against Weinstein, everything from sexual misconduct to rape. His reps, by the way, say that he has since gone to rehab and any allegations of non-consensual sex are unequivocally denied. Speaking of, the L.A. County D.A.'s office will not be going after Scott Baio for sex assault. TMZ reporting officials believed Baio's Charles in Charge co-star Nicole Eggert. She claimed the adult actor repeatedly molested her between the ages of 14 and 18 while they were starring on that show. Sources telling TMZ the D.A. did believe Eggert, but too much time had passed and the case was therefore beyond the statute of limitations. Baio says they only had sex once and she was of age. And get your seat now to Joan Hamburg's pre-Tony Luncheon happening June 5th at Empire Steakhouse on West 54th Street. Call 212-613-3848 to reserve your seat today. I'm Juliette Huddy, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. And the NFL owners did the right thing if that's what they've done. I think the people pushed it forward. This was not me. I brought it out. I think the people pushed it forward. This country's very smart. We have very smart people. And, you know, that's something ideally could have been taken care of when it first started. It would have been a lot easier. But if they did that, they're doing the right thing.
President Donald Trump on Long Island yesterday, there for a much more serious issue, trying to wipe out, as he did with ISIS, MS-13, but did get into the NFL conversation with Brian Kilmeade of Fox News, Fox and Friends. It did come down yesterday, the NFL saying, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, that players that don't want to stand for the national anthem can now stay behind in the locker room. It'll be up to the home team who, in fact, has to go out and actually participate in this event. And if they go out and the other will be a fine that the team will pay, not the specific players, because the players' union is so strong, although some owners have said, no, they're going to end up paying it. Who knows? They're giving these guys a choice.
The team has the prerogative to get the money back from the player based on this ruling.
Well, no, not really, because the players' union can still fight it.
According to the stuff I read, that it's not covered under collective bargaining because it's in the NFL rule book or something like that.
I believe that's true, but I also read yesterday the union will fight tooth and nail every step of the way if, in fact, the teams try to collect.
Because this is it. The new policy is part of the NFL's game operation manual. So it's not subject to collective bargaining by the players' union. So
I'm telling you, they came out yesterday and said, we're not happy about this and we're going to fight. So I don't know. I mean, I hope it's not easy.
But I guess the takeaway from that little clip with your favorite Kilmeade there was that the Trump said he think the owners did the right thing.
Well, of course. Trump has been more vocal than anybody about this, and he came under fire for that. Obviously, it was about the same time as the hurricane in Puerto Rico. But on one weekend, Donald Trump tweeted 17 times about the NFL and twice about the disaster. And that's fine. I mean, this is how he feels. We agree with Donald Trump, and the owners certainly do, too. But there's still a bunch of pussies because, on one hand, while they agree with Donald Trump, they still cave to the players.
That's right. In other words, you're going to have the same issue. It's going to be a count who came out for the anthem and who didn't. That's essentially what you're going to have now. By the way, it's the same policy as the NBA has. And we talked earlier, the owner of the Jets, even though the Jets voted for this policy, the owner of the Jets said he will pay if any of the players on the Jets, this guy Chris...
he's actually the brother of the owner. The owner is Woody Johnson. But Woody works for Donald Trump. He's an ambassador to the UK. So his brother Christopher Johnson has taken over operations of the Jets. Woody owns the team, but Christopher's making all the calls.
So unsolicited, this guy comes out and says, I'll pay any of the fines. If they want to kneel, they can kneel, and I'll pay the fines. I mean, talk about spoiled the guilty white a-holes, this guy from the New York Jets. And not one Jet took a knee over the past couple of years that I can recall.
No, they haven't. Not at all. That's kind of why Chris Johnson, for him to come out and say that, not exactly like Imus would say, profile and courage, because none of his players kneel anyway, because they know in New York City, we're not going to deal with that, even though giant players like that creep Olivier Vernon, he does kneel in a city, by the way, where we lost 3,000 people due to a terrorist attack, and the flag. You remember when they brought back the flag and put it out there in front?
Of course.
How much did the flag mean on 9/12/2001?
Everything. And that's what they don't get. There's a lot of ignorance going on here, and there's no sacrifice involved on the part of these people. We talked about it earlier. They're selfish narcissists. They don't do anything else. They get off the field, and that's that. It's the camera's on me. I'm gonna get some attention here and take some cheap shots at the cops and spit on the military and the flag, and I'll be lauded in my community or whatever it is. But then they go home and they do squat. They do nothing in the off season. They're not true social justice warriors, which they want to be for a day on a Sunday, 14 weeks out of the year or whatever the hell, however long the NFL season is. And that's it. It's disgraceful. And I think these are a bunch of scumbags. I just wish they would have just forced them to go out. You either stand or you get ejected.
Well, go home. Right, go home. But they didn't do that. So, by the way, the guy that does now take all of his time for these causes, and he does it because he doesn't have a choice. He's not a hero. He's not a martyr. He can't get a job. And his name is Colin Kaepernick. There is one player, pretty good football player, played in San Francisco last year. His name is Eric Reed. He's a free agent. He came out and said, I don't care if somebody signs me or not. I'm standing with Colin Kaepernick. So for what it's worth, and I saw him on The View, he was just okay. For what it's worth, a guy like Eric Reed, he is standing by whatever this cause is. He came out in the prime of his career last year and said, if you don't want to sign me, that's fine. I'm signing with Colin. So there are a few guys that are actually out there trumpeting the cause.
Somewhat principled.
I guess.
The two of them, both of them, are both suing the NFL for, this is the word of the year that everybody learned the meaning of in the past 2 years, collusion.
Yes.
The two of them are suing the NFL, Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick, the two unemployed malcontents, who just the ignorant malcontents, I would say. And screw them, the hell with them. At least they haven't been hired. I'm glad about
that. No, they haven't. And the bigger part of this story is that audio from Donald Trump comes via an interview with Brian Kilmeade. Now, listen, I was offered a job back in the late 1990s. First time I was offered a sports talk radio job in New York City, before I met you with The Fan, my agent called me and said, here's the deal. You're in Florida. You want to come to New York? I've got a partner for you. You're going to do the show every single day from the old Mickey Mantle's restaurant on Fifth Avenue. We're going to have you guys go to Shea Stadium, cover the Mets, go to the Bronx, cover the Yankees. It's going to be a weekend show to start, but this specific syndicated network wanted to make it eventually a daily show. I said, Lep Sutter, it sounds great. Who's my partner? He said, Brian Kilmeade. I said, who the F is that? Brian Kilmeade? Who knew who Brian Kilmeade was in 1998? He goes, no, he's a up-and-coming sports guy, and
you guys would be great together. And I said, what are they going to pay me? He said, $75,000. I said, okay, call me when you get a real deal. I'm going to leave Miami. I'm making $100,000 to make $75,000 in a much more expensive place in New York to work with a guy I never heard of. And now, 20 years later, this guy gets the president. When did Brian Kilmeade, and I like the kid, I'll see him next week at the convention, talkers convention. When did he become a big star? Well, what does he do that makes him a big star?
I believe.
Just tell me.
I believe he's one of the co-hosts on Fox and Friends and has been since about the year 2000.
Earhart and Peter Ducey, the big stars?
But that's the answer. I mean, you don't want to accept that. That's why he gets the president. He's on a network that kicks ass cable wise in the morning. And
they kick ass. They get about 2 million viewers.
They get about 3 million.
So
but still, they kill the competition.
Yeah, but that's the competition.
I understand.
Come on.
I understand. But you ask for an answer. That's the answer, and it gets a lot of attention. It gets picked up all over the place. And of course, he was one of the top 25 radio heavy 100 hitters or whatever.
And Trump tweets about them.
Yeah, because he's on Fox News Radio. I understand the vehicle, Bernie. I understand if you're in a Lamborghini, the car drives fast. But does that make the driver a great driver?
Here's the question, the real question we have to ask.
Yeah.
What is bugging you?
What's bugging me.
Is it something is that the two of you were in the same spot?
Uh-huh.
Back in 1999.
Right.
And Kilmeade is there, and he's interviewing the president.
Right.
You're here with me.
Which is great.
But yet?
There's no yet. I don't understand why people who have less talent have these types of opportunities. By the way, we should have been there yesterday.
Brian's no rocket scientist, let's face it.
That's my point. He's not great at what he does. He's a nice guy. It's fine. He knows about Andrew Jackson. Fantastic.
Well,
we should have been there yesterday. See, Craig Schwab, he's got to be smarter about that. And I love Craig. He's a great PD. But there's no reason why Brian Kilmeade is interviewing Donald Trump about the NFL when you've got Bernie and Sid a couple of blocks away.
Guarantee he would have let us interview him.
Yeah, we should have applied for some
potential. That's what's bothering me, is that here you got a guy who's he's a nice kid. He's no dummy, but he's no genius. He's not great at anything.
Forget Craig. Let me go to Jill. Who's the producer of this show?
He has to get...
No, did you ask him?
No.
Okay.
Is it my fault? Maybe.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
Wait a second!
I didn't bring it up. But seeing as how we did bring it up, let's not go straight to Craig.
Oh, that's fair. Jill deserves some of the beating here, too.
Yeah, beat me.
But I don't want to beat up Craig, would you?
Beat me, baby.
I just want to beat up Brian Kilmeade.
Let's get him. You want to beat up Brian Kilmeade?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well,
I know you like him because you're a Fox News guy.
I don't dislike. I don't care. This sounds like there's a little bit of envy going on here.
A little bit?
Something.
You want to try again?
I'm trying to be nice.
Don't. Go ahead. Go for it. A lot of envy?
Go ahead. What? Tell me.
Yeah, a lot of envy. I'm pissed.
Can we go with the J word?
You know what it is? I'm okay when somebody really talented. I'm okay if Sean Hannity enjoys great success. I'm okay if Howard Stern enjoys great success. Even Mike Francesa, God bless him. But over the years, I see more and more people in big spots having great success that are not more talented than me and or us. And that tends to bother me. And you may say, oh, Sid, shut up. Who are you? What have you done? I don't care what I've done. I know what I've got. I know what Bernie's got. And it does tend to bother me when, in fact, somebody has opportunities when they're not better at what they do than we are.
Well, you know what we do next time we see him?
What's that?
We beat the crap out of him. We stomp him. Stomp him. Kill me. We're coming after you, boy.
God has given you a present. It's called today. What are you going to do with it?
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Antoine in the Bronx. Antoine, how are you?
Hey, yo, Joe Benigno, man. What's up, man?
What's up, baby?
Long time listener, man. Yo, turn the radio down on the air, man.
What's up, yo?
But you know why I'm upset, man?
Why are you upset?
Yo, in a melting pot here, we call New York, we can't get a black coach. There's no black quarterbacks, no black pitchers, no black nothing, man. What's up with that? You got to get a brother in there for the big brothers, you know what I'm saying? Don't cut me off because I'm black, you know what I'm saying? I hear you speaking on a lot of hockey issues, too, you know what I'm saying? I don't like hockey, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's your prerogative.
You know, because in hockey, the only thing black is the puck, and they be smacking that around.
Yeah.
Classic Bernard McGurk. Calling into Joe Beningo at WFAN as Antoine from the Bronx.
Where did that come from?
We got them all. We got the one you calling him, you calling me. We don't have the one of you calling Salzburg and Sim, but we've got me and Joe. So
that's funny.
That was great comedy. Great.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Maybe I should call Curtis like that, huh? Hey, yo, Curtis, man, what's up? I see you wearing red all the time, man. I'm offended. I've been triggered. I use some new words.
Yeah. Yeah, new words.
Yo, man, what's up with that gay beret, bro?
It was good stuff.
Yeah, that's nice. That was Joe Beningo. And by the way, I had him on the phone for, I'd say, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's just 20 seconds.
Worth. Yeah, yeah.
He was like you. He was like, oh, no, he was trying to get out. Hey, what's he's hitting buttons. And I had the board operator was in cahoots with me. He was colluding with me.
Even though that board op was a guy named Sugar Ray Martel, who was best friends with me and Joe at the time, yes. He had no problem setting me and Joe up for this phone call.
Not at all. Sugar Ray was my boy.
Yep.
And that's why. They couldn't cut me off. They were you were trying to cut me off.
Oh,
Joe was frantically trying to cut me off, but but I was locked in.
It was great.
And I just, like a cat with a cockroach... I toyed with him.
Talking about Antoine from the Bronx, who will talk to the Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. coming up next hour. His attempts to legalize marijuana here in New York and Brooklyn Chase in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's go to Mike in Nassau County on line one. Mike, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bernie and Sid. Hey,
what's up, Mike?
You guys kick butt every day. You know that, right?
Yes, we do. But thank you for saying it.
Very nice of you. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, I spoke to Jill, and she's excellent also. My feeling about Kaepernick, in my 64 years, I've never seen anything so divisive in what he did. Okay?
Yeah.
If he doesn't like this country, go up to Canada, and he can take that 5 foot
But he's not an issue right now, Mike, because he's not playing. He's not even employed.
Sid, I know that. You know what it was in the beginning? It was police officers, white brutality against blacks. What did Obama speak about in his 2 terms? Did he speak about black violence on black in his hood, his neighborhood of Chicago? No. He put a spin on it, like that phony 5 foot nothing Sharpton. And now it's for equality. Anybody who doesn't stand for the flag and acknowledge the flag, get the hell out of the country.
Well, yeah, just get off the, don't do it on the field. Do it in the privacy of wherever the hell you live or whatever it is. Keep it out of football, and it was very divisive. It was is what it was. It injected politics and racial tension into sport. We don't need that. I mean, and again, it's not about free speech. When you work for somebody, these people are putting out a product, and they're paying you. You're part of the product, so you have to follow. You should follow the rules. And a lot of people spoke with their ticket buying. Apparently, as some of the advertising went down, I know they're still kicking ass Blockbuster. I know that
revenue went up. Look, here's the problem.
Something went down.
Ticket sales, believe it or not, the ratings went down. Ratings went down. But revenue still went up. And at the end of the day, that's all they care about. It'll be like us, our ratings go down. If we sell, we're great. Look, I think the misconception is by white people, the only people that care about this are blacks. Let me tell you something, okay? Go read the Daily News today, Mike Lupica, white guy. Go to my Facebook page today, Spencer Ross, who was one of the most well-known sports announcers in this town for 4 decades. Did the Jets, did the Knicks, still does it. He yells and screams about the players have a right to do this. So it's not really a black-white issue. It's really more about right and left. I believe more political because the liberals tend to believe that these soldiers fought for our freedoms, and kneeling at a football game is part of those freedoms. Well, I don't believe that. You don't believe that. I mean, you know,
again, it's demonstrably not true. If you're an employer, you're not at will to do whatever the hell you want. You can't wear a Palestinian flag around your arm if you're standing on the sidelines. They just won't. You can't even show solidarity with dead cops in Dallas. If you're on the sidelines, you just can't do it.
I know, but if WABC had, for example, they said to you and I, before the show every morning, you have to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And we don't want to do that. Well, guess what? We don't have to do it. They can fire us, but we will receive sympathy from folks around the country. And that's what's going on here.
They are receiving sympathy, and it's not just black people. It's a ton of white people that believe that the soldiers fight for our freedom to even kneel. I think it's disgusting. I do. And we've spoken to soldiers, men and women without limbs, who have been reduced to tears because of what these NFL players are doing. But the opposition doesn't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. No. And it's not just blacks, it's whites.
That's exactly what Mike Lubica is a perfect example.
Spencer Ross.
He's a Joe Scarborough type of sellout.
Scarborough's on there every day saying they should be able to kneel too. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not a black-white thing. Now, look, the players are black, and only black players are kneeling. Even guys like Chris Long, who's a white guy, he doesn't kneel. So the players that are kneeling, they are black, but there are white players that agree with them,
who sympathize with them, who pander to them, or whatever it is. But it's all rooted in the ignorant notion that there's an epidemic of cop on black violence, and that's not the case. It's very complicated. There are bad incidents out there, but to smear all the cops, that's wrong. And also, kids watching, that instill in them a certain negativity, a certain hatefulness, is very counterproductive at this point.
Not just counterproductive, Bernard, but dangerous. Now we've seen over the last couple of years multiple examples of police officers, happened right here in New York, the guy from Baltimore, police officers sitting in their cars, and some guy walks up on him and shoots
him. Right. Exactly right.
Because Colin Kaepernick says, you do it to my people all the time.
Bingo. 1-800-848-WABC. Bernie and Sid, we're coming right back.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Funny, I was just talking about this yesterday, a guest on Dr. Dahlia's show in Las Vegas, and she asked me, as I mentioned on this program earlier today, Bernard, what was my favorite sports moment being a sports guy my whole life. And I mentioned this. Take a listen, folks. Super Bowl 25, before the Giants beat the Bills, Whitney Houston singing Our Star-Spangled Banner. Don't tell me, as sports fans, we don't care about the national anthem, you effing assholes. We love it. This is as memorable as the Scott Norwood missed kick in that game that elevated Bill Parcells to a second Super Bowl. Sing it, Whitney! Tell me the national anthem doesn't matter. Don't sing it. Stay in the locker room. Let me quote the great Chris Carlin. Suck my D! Finish it, Bernie. Finish it, Burn. Finish it. Thank you, Whitney.
Yeah.
That goes out to Mike Lupica, Spencer Ross, Joe Scarborough,
all
the idiots out there that tell us that...
Suck it, punks.
Right. The NFL now has disgraced the flag.
S-M-I-P.
That's right. That's right, Jilly. Well, good input. Listen, I wonder what the Boomer Little Balls Esiason is saying about
this. No, on radio, he's probably upset. Oh, I don't know. He may have been brainwashed.
Yeah, he says one thing on radio and he says another thing on TV. Just curious. Just kind of curious. You know, that type of stuff, even before all the kneeling, I remember when players or anybody would just stand there and they're joking around, they're laughing, they're grabbing their crotch or whatever. It used to really piss me off.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this.
Well, now you got this story. And then, of course, the Jets, they become local because Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, he works for Donald Trump. He's gone to England. So his brother, Christopher Johnson, has now taken over control of the Jets. And Chris Johnson came out yesterday and said, hey, even though I voted for this, that the players will be fined or the teams, if in fact they kneel, if they come out of the locker room,
if they do kneel, I'll pay the fine. So he almost encouraged his players to crap on the new rule.
What a courageous little spoiled brat. Never worked a day in his life.
Not only have the Jets been a crappy organization, one Super Bowl appearance, in fact, zero Super Bowl appearances, forget about wins, in the last almost 50 years, but their owners are crap, too.
You know,
crap.
It must give people like Chris Johnson, Mike Lupica, and Joe Scarborough, must give them a lot of pleasure to know that a cop killer named Herman Bell can now vote in November.
Yeah,
he just
right.
got the right to vote from Andrew Cuomo. He was pardoned by Andrew Cuomo, and he's now allowed to vote a cop killer. So the news isn't all bad for you people out there. For those of you of that bent, you can take solace in knowing that Herman Bell can vote in November, okay? And you
disgusting.
Got a governor out there who enabled the whole thing. So don't despair too much, guys, all right?
That is disgusting. We will talk to the Bronx Borough President, Ruben Diaz Jr., at the end of this hour. Brooklyn Chase, live in studio next hour. But the fans want to talk to Bernie and Sid. Here's Angel in Orange County, line 5. Big Jet fan. Good morning.
Good morning, Bernie and Sid. Love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to give my 2 cents about the Jets. I've been a longtime Jets fan, and it turned my stomach when I heard this yesterday about them wanting to pay the fines if the, you know, if their players decide to kneel.
Yeah.
I'm a NYPD sergeant. I've been in law enforcement 22 years, and it's disgusting the stuff that's been going on as of late. You know, they kneel and they say that they kneel protesting police brutality. And what a lot of people don't realize is the police come into contact with the public thousands of times in a day, in a period of a day. You're talking about 911 calls alone. It's tens of thousands of calls that come in.
Exactly.
And not only through the 911 calls, but also through what we call pickup, which is you come across a situation in the street without nobody calling 911. You just come across it and you handle that situation. And out of all the thousands, how many times are you hearing about a cop shooting somebody for no apparent reason, or beating the crap out of them for no apparent reason? I mean, in comparison,
infinitesimally small.
You know, the other point that Bernie makes, thank you, Angel, the other point that you make all the time, which African-American folks don't want to hear, but it happens to be true. It doesn't always explain away some of the violence directed towards them. I understand that. But the truth is that there is an immense amount of crime, immense, in the African-American community. So wouldn't it make more sense that there would be more contact between police and black people?
Listen, this is when they say, let's have a conversation about this. Well, when you start having the conversation and you start bringing up facts and statistics like that, they don't want to hear it. They're racist. Shut up. Well, yes, young black men commit a disproportionate amount of the crime in this country. And that's why they come in contact with the police. And these sometimes ugly incidents happen. Sometimes you have bad cops. Most times they're just overly cautious. They're afraid.
They're nervous. They're
they
anxious.
Don't know.
Sure.
And things happen. They spiral out of control. You want to have why are crimes committed disproportionately by young black? Why do they come in contact with the police? All right, let me put it that way.
Right.
Why is it that young black men are coming into contact with police all the time? Let's ask that question.
Well, maybe Al Sharpton can answer that question. I doubt he will. But
well, I mean, and there's a million social reasons to explain that away that are uncomfortable and awkward. But if you want to have the conversation, let's have the conversation.
Right. And also, the guy makes a very fair point, too, that, again, hundreds of thousands of calls a day, and we see a couple of ugly incidents, and we say that's the norm, which is a lie, unfair, and just continues to promote something that doesn't exist, which in the end becomes very, very dangerous. Matt is in Boston, line 6. Matt, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Hey there.
I was just calling about the kneeling thing. I always thought that kneeling myself was like a submission thing. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's not. But it's not. So let's move on.
All right. Well, I'm just saying that I thought the better thing was to stand. Everybody stands together. Stand was like a protest song back in the day by Sly and the Family Stone. And if you listen to the lyrics of this song, it's very it's in tune with what's happening now. They say stand is a permanent crease in the right and wrong. My point was, if the players wanted to have an end game to this, they could be helping a lot of people out there, very wealthy players. The whole league is very wealthy.
Yep.
You know how many people you have, and disproportionately black people in jail on small bails, 300, 500, that can't make bail, that are actually, they're the sole income for their houses. But these dudes are, and they don't have big crimes, new cigarettes.
No, listen, that's a fair point. That is a fair point, that there's a ton of African-American people in jail way too long for minor crimes. That is true. That is true. But again, Matt, you're making the point. I haven't heard Colin Kaepernick or Eric Reed or Michael Bennett or any of these guys make those points, articulate those points. And if they do want to make those points, which are fair, you make a very good point, then kneeling for the national anthem during the football game does nothing. Go on talk shows. Stand outside one police plaza. Stand outside a prison.
Put up a fund to pay the bail.
Go to Chicago. Great. Go to Chicago, but kneeling for the national anthem and saying nothing while the song is playing,
and
all you're doing is being more divisive.
It's sacrificing nothing. It's selfish. It's narcissistic for the most part, and accomplishes this. It says not a damn thing, and it offends people in the military who are currently actively serving in very, very dangerous places, and guys who have lost limbs and are insulted by it.
Yeah, but they say, I've been a football fan my whole life, Johnny Jones, and now he has a tough time watching it. One more call before the break. Line one, Rich, Englewood, New Jersey. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, guys. I'm a veteran, and this is the only thing, this saying by the NFL yesterday, it's the only thing that people like Brandon Jacobs, when he was on your show, accomplished. It's a law to stand for the flag. They didn't accomplish one thing for a single black or brown person for all the kneeling they have done.
That's
in
right.
The world.
Nothing has changed. By the way, you say you're a veteran. First of all, thank you for your service. Second of all, where'd you serve?
I'm serving active duty right now here in Queens, New York, listening to you guys every day.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Yeah, they're perpetuating a myth that the vast majority of cops are racist. They're projecting a negativity to young sports fans who are watching that negativity is going to be very, very counterproductive and, yes, dangerous as well going forward. That's what they're doing. Very divisive, and they're insulting veterans at the same time. It is it's just a bad thing all around, and they don't do anything outside of that Sunday when the lights are on and the cameras are on. They don't do anything during the off season. Squat. They're out there just chilling.
So is it fair to say that all of this they've accomplished nothing? I mean, they really accomplished nothing.
No, just divisiveness and a lot of angst and us yelling back and forth at each other. 1-800. Oh, we're going to speak to the Bronx Borough President, Ruben Diaz Jr. Good guy. He's been on with us before. He wants to legalize pot in the city. His dad, who, by the way, is or was a city council member, says he doesn't want to do it. So we have a rift in the Diaz family. Anyway, Ruben Diaz Jr. coming up next.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
I'm Juliette Hadid with your latest Celebs Ripping Our President report, starting with a predictable culprit, actor Robert De Niro, as fiery as a mouthful of wasabi. Speaking to London's Daily Mail, he announced the President of the United States is banned from his restaurant Nobu. The chef behind the sushi spot, though, Nobu Matsuhisa, is slightly more nebulous about his feelings for Trump, telling the Mail he'd love to see Trump and De Niro sit together while he makes them sushi. And he is known for being a crack up and a pretty affable guy, but Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl, well, he has some Trump supporters not smiling. He says he constantly feels the need to apologize for the president while touring the world. Quote, who cares what I think about guns or religion? But the thing about Trump is he just seems like a massive jerk. However, he does kind of come back around in this interview. He says you can bet tomorrow night in the stadium. He was going to be playing the stadium. I believe it was Wembley. Not everyone will share the same opinion as me. But when I sing that song, My Hero, they will all sing it with me in the 3 hours that I am on stage. None of that matters, meaning politics. And that is your entertainment report. I'm Juliet Huddy, 77 WABC.
You know, they should play this before the NFL games. These guys smoke more. They like to smoke pot more than out of the country anyway.
Hey, back on the Bernie and Sid show. Speaking of what I was going to do, but I got high. There's a big movement on here in New York, as there is all over the country, to legalize marijuana. And it's rearing its head here in New York, as I said. And we're ambivalent about it. I mean, there are concerns, but we think people should be, in the privacy of their homes, allowed to smoke a joint or whatever the hell it is they want after a hard day's work.
I think you detailed it. I mean, I never smoked pot. I was obviously had my issues with drugs and alcohol, never marijuana. But, yeah, if you want to smoke in your house, that's fine. I don't
care. But it's complicated because there are people on the street smoking. It's pungent. Right. Kids walk by, whatever. Anyway, on the line.
But there is money to be made in the States, and that could be big money.
Huge money. It's very, very alluring to the politicians.
That's right.
And speaking of politicians, on the line with us right now is a former guest of ours. He's been on the Bernie and Sid show before. He is the borough president of my home borough, the Bronx, New York, Ruben Diaz Jr. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Bernie. Good morning, Sid. And let me just begin by giving a shout out to Anton from the Bronx.
See that? You know what time it is.
That's a very famous Bronx guy, no doubt.
That's funny, man.
Talking about the Bronx, I know you're a big fan of these guys, too. How do you go up 10-5 and lose 12-10 to the Texas Rangers last night? How do you do that?
Man, I have to be honest. I was paying attention to the conference finals in the NBA. But, the Yankees are doing well this year. And look at the bright side. We've been putting up a lot of runs, 20-something home runs in the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
I like where we at right now. And so my hat is off to the Texas Rangers. And you can't win them all. But I think that we're in a good place right now.
One quick follow-up. You said you were digging into the NBA. Last night was game 5. The Celtics remained unbeaten at home. They beat LeBron and the Cavaliers. Are you rooting for the Celtics, Ruben? Are you rooting for LeBron James and the Cavaliers?
Well, let me be clear. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm a diehard Knicks fan.
Uh-huh. So there you go.
But with that said, I internally I find myself rooting for LeBron. But I have to say that what Boston has done, especially with these three young guys, Brown, Rozier, and Tatum. Tatum is going to be a superstar.
Yep.
And of course, Al Horford has just been playing phenomenally.
Look at this guy. When are you going to ESPN? Forget about the Bronx.
WFAN or something, Ruben Diaz Jr. You sound better than...
You can be my manager. Give me a contract.
No doubt about it. You could do both.
My agent, yeah.
Hey, Chris Christie did both.
Yes.
You could do it. Like Ruben Diaz Jr., again, you're from my hood over there in the Bronx, the Soundview section. I grew up in the Monroe houses there, the project. Wow. But now your father is a city councilman, a Ruben Diaz Sr., and he says of legalizing pot, he says, this is ridiculous. We're always protecting the criminals. We should be protecting the senior citizens and law-abiding citizens. And you, Ruben Diaz Jr., well, you have a disagreement with that.
Well, let me just be clear here. I am not all out in favor of the legalization of marijuana at this moment. What I'm saying is for those individuals like my father, be careful, because what we've seen for too long, people of color in the city of New York have been differentially and disproportionately and negatively impacted by the way that marijuana laws are being enforced. When you look at what's happening to blacks and Latinos who are being arrested as first-time offenders, who are nonviolent offenders in the city of New York, the ramifications are serious in their lives. I would tell people like my father, be careful, because your sons, who are you so proud of, one who's a borough president, one who works for the New York City Housing Authority, may not have had the opportunities that we've had in our careers and in our lives if we had been part of the judicial system simply because we smoked a doobie here or there.
You know, that's a fair point, and that just came up with me and Bernie on the NFL kneeling thing, that it is unfair, and some African-American folks spend a long time in prison for something as really innocent as smoking a joint in the street. So let me take it back to sports for a second, then we'll get back to pot. What do you think about NFL players kneeling? And that goes directly to what you talked about just now.
Well, look, I will always stand up, salute, put my hand over my heart whenever the national anthem or the American flag is being flown. I respect it. In fact, I'm a proud father. Just 2 weeks ago, my wife and I, our youngest son, was commissioned. He graduated from Temple University, but he also did Army ROTC, and he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army.
That's
wow.
nice, man.
Congratulations. That's,
and your dad, too, is an Army veteran.
Yeah.
He's an Army veteran. I do a lot of work here in the Bronx. We have a veterans council. We just had our veterans breakfast acknowledging over 300 veterans for Bronx Week last week. And so with that said, I also respect people's freedom of speech. I think that the NFL, I think, missed a perfect opportunity. What do I mean by that, Sid and Bernie? I think that, yes, they could have come out with this new policy, but they should have coupled it. You know, the players aren't anti-American. The players aren't anti-flag. The players are anti-police harassment and brutality. The players are anti-discrimination. And so what they should have done is say, okay, this is our policy. We're going to respect the flag. But at the same time, as an organization, what we're going to do is that we're going to hear the players out and start an initiative and a discussion nationwide as to how we can address these injustices. They missed a perfect opportunity.
Not fair enough.
And that's what the players would have wanted.
But why don't the players do that themselves? Like, say, in the off season, why don't they do stuff? Why don't they go into the inner city neighborhoods and try to help out and explore what's going on? And of course, the conversations are difficult and awkward. Ruben Diaz Jr., borough president of the Bronx, you know that young black youth perpetrate a disproportionate number of the crimes committed in this country in the inner cities, and that's why they get arrested. That's why they have confrontations with police. The question is, why is that the case?
Well, a lot of the players do that. They do that on their personal time. But you know what happens? The media and the country doesn't pay attention. So what they're using is their celebrity. They're using this platform, being the NFL, to draw attention to the injustice. And again, the NFL could have done themselves a service here by saying, okay, we're going to reach this happy medium.
What injustice, Ruben, what injustice? Whenever a cop commits, does something wrong, they get prosecuted for it. And if after the investigation, if they're exonerated. But it is investigated.
He's saying not always.
Not always.
Like what? Like when?
Especially, look at Amadou Diallo. And this is something that happened in the city of New York.
They were investigated.
Time and time again, when you look, and it's not just police harassment and police brutality and misconduct. I respect the police. My sister's a retired police sergeant in the NYPD. So shout out to NYPD.
Yeah.
We work closely with them. And the Bronx has been the safest Bronx that the world has seen since 1951, thanks in part to the NYPD. What we're saying here, though, is this is a platform here. This is an organization who has benefited from black players as much as the black players have benefited from being hired by the NFL.
Right.
So why not couple up? Why not reach this happy medium and say, you're going to respect the flag. We understand why you did it. And so now collectively, all of us are going to have this conversation, and because it's the NFL, now more people will listen than when the players do that as individuals.
I think it's a great idea. I think you're right. I think that would have been better than what we got yesterday. Listen, we have a surprise for you. Ruben Diaz Jr., Bronx Borough President. I'm with Bernie and Sid, Bernie's buddy from the Bronx. We got a surprise for you. We got somebody on the line.
Uh-oh.
All this guy did was basically run the Organized Crime Bureau for a very long time. He has spent the last 20 years running security for Western Beef, but this is one of the most respected. You talk about cops and big-time people protecting us, and I know you love this guy, Ruben. Okay. Say hello to your good buddy, Frank O'Hara.
Oh, Frank.
Go ahead, Frank.
Oh, my God. This is so. I got goosebumps just now. Is Frank really on the line?
Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, do you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Ruben.
Yes.
You're my man. And I want to tell Bernie, because of this guy you're talking to, the Bronx is back, Bernie.
No doubt. I agree with you. Yes. Kudos to Ruben Diaz Jr. for that.
When you drive around the Bronx now, you see nothing but new. New every place.
I like what I hear.
Oh, my God,
and
Frank.
The other thing is, I'd like to tell you guys and the people listening, Ruben Diaz is one of the, I think I'm a pretty good judge of people. And Ruben, unlike a number of politicians today, is honest as the day is long.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Very nice.
Hey, listen, Frank.
People,
before,
he's a good person.
He is a great guy. We love him, too.
We love him.
We're happy you called in, and obviously Ruben is touched by this. But before we let you go, one quick story. We'll get back to Ruben Diaz Jr. in a second. I was asked to ask you this. When Gotti, because you worked with the Organized Crime Bureau for many, many years, when Gotti whacked Paul Castellano outside of Spark Steakhouse and took over as the head crime boss, the last really big famous crime boss here in New York, where was John Gotti when, in fact, he found out he was going to be the next boss?
Was he in the
well, he was sitting up the block when the hit went down, but about 6 weeks later, all the captains and the family came together at a restaurant in Brooklyn, and they elected him boss of the Gambino crime family.
I have absolutely no idea.
That I'm sure, Sid, you've been to many times.
It's a restaurant in Brooklyn?
Yes, that's where he was elected boss, in Gargiulio's.
Oh, Gargiulio's!
That's where the voting went down.
There many times. I love that place. Louis, my boy! Fantastic. You never been there, Ruben?
Never. But let me just say this about Frank, please. I need to say this. You guys left me speechless. It's a wonderful surprise. Frank, I love you. And the reason why is, again, when you talk about corporate neighbors, Western Beef, thanks to Frank and his leadership, they've not only made good money and do great business in the Bronx, they hire Bronxites, but they also give back to the community. Every single time we call on Western Beef, especially around the holiday season, they feed families here. We give out, they donate hundreds and hundreds of turkeys all over the Bronx. And I know they do that throughout the city of New York, but Frank, I appreciate you. You gave me goosebumps this morning. I love you, brother.
Same here, Ruben.
Thank you, Frank.
What a nice moment.
That was actually set up by talking about another restaurant in Brooklyn, not Gargiulio's, yes, but Brennan and Carr, our dear friend Mike Sullivan. He's the best. So, Ruben, getting back to the marijuana conversation,
right,
it comes down to money. I mean, before we get there, what do you think about another major story about that surfaced this week, where Bill de Blasio, the mayor, came out and said, basically, stop arresting people for smoking weed?
Well, this is the reason why I think that we need to have some uniformity. And before we even speak of legalization, I think that we need to take a step back. So you have the mayor saying one thing. The NYPD and the commissioner, they're torn between what the mayor is saying. They're torn between the calls that they're getting from members of the community. And then you have the district attorneys.
Right.
So you have a couple of district attorneys doing one thing. You have other district attorneys doing another. And that's why I believe that we should not do any arrests at this moment. We should not prosecute. We should take a step back and then have a robust conversation. When you look at the city of New York and you see that blacks in the city of New York are stopped 8 times more than whites did for low-level marijuana charges, and Latinos are stopped over 5 times more at 5 times the rate. When you look at Manhattan, blacks are stopped 15 times the rate of whites. And when people say, oh, well, folks are calling. Well, you know what? There was an analysis done that in white neighborhoods where people smoke as much as blacks, where the calls come into the NYPD or 911 as much as black and Latino neighborhoods, the arrests are still far lower. Something is wrong. There seems to be some disarray here, and we have to have a conversation. I want to be a part of it so that we can have some uniformity in the law, that whether we go into legalization or something else, that we can stop the injustices around the arrests.
Well, listen, uniformity, you're right about that. The Bronx doing one thing, Manhattan and Brooklyn doing another thing. But to allow public smoking, look, 86% of the Bronx residents are black or Hispanic. So, yeah, they're going to be, I guess, disproportionately arrested because that's who lives there. So, I mean, I don't know where that argument comes from.
I got to stop you there. I'm sorry. But even when we spoke about stop and frisk, when there was an analysis done on stop and frisk, and I'm glad that we're doing fewer of that, and yet crime is still very low, at historic lows. In communities where the people who were arrested and were prosecuted were whites, in white communities where the overwhelming majority of the so-called criminal was white, stop and frisk was still far higher among black and Latinos in those communities.
Let me just say, going out, Ruben, we don't have much time. That as your father points out, you have old people, you have parents with kids walking in the streets. They don't want to smell
pot smoke on the street. So at this point, the law is you can't do it. They should be follow the law. I think that's only fair at this point until there's a referendum or something that changes it.
So I agree with you. We should have summonses, though. Don't arrest them. Don't prosecute. In the same way that you cannot walk around the streets with an open bottle of beer, is the same way that you shouldn't smoke in the streets. And yet alcohol and beer are legal. What we should not do, however, is destroy young black and Latino youth's lives. Right now. So I think summons, but don't arrest and don't prosecute.
Well, listen, Ruben, you're wonderful. You're doing a great job in the Bronx.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service. We love you. You're a great guest.
And fantastic.
You're invited anytime you want to come back and go Yankees, and the zoo looks great. That's all I care about.
I appreciate you, and thank you for the Frank call.
Oh, good. We're glad you enjoyed Frank O'Hara.
Hey, listen, man, it was a pleasure. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, Ruben Diaz Jr.
Take care, pal.
And the Bernie and Sid Show, we're coming right back.
Antoine in the Bronx. Antoine, how are you?
Hey, yo, Joe Beningo, man. What's up, man?
What's up, baby?
Long time listener, man. Yo, turn the radio down on the air, man.
What's up, yo?
Do you know why I'm upset, man?
Why are you upset?
Yo, in a melting pot here, we call New York, we can't get a black coach, no black quarterbacks, no black pitchers, no black nothing, man. What's up with that? You got to get a brother in there for the big brothers, you know what I'm saying? Don't cut me off because I'm black, you know what I'm saying? I hear you speaking on a lot of hockey issues, too, you know what I'm saying? I don't like hockey, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's your prerogative.
You know, because in hockey, the only thing black is the puck, and they be smacking that around.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
All right, 9:07 on your Thursday morning. This is it for Bernie and I. We're going on vacation for a couple of days. We'll be back on Tuesday, so you'll get Russ Salzburg and Juliet Huddy doing Best of Bernie and Sid over the next couple of days. They'll do a terrific job, but we close out the last hour in style, talking about No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Yes, I'm from Brooklyn, but our next guest, that's her name, making her second appearance now on the Bernie and Sid Show in the last couple of weeks. She was so good the first time, we actually flew her in from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to make a live in-studio appearance, loved and revered by hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of adult film fans, the adorable Brooklyn Chase, live in studio.
Hello, good morning, Brooklyn.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Listen, this is the big city, New York.
Yes.
You're a San Diego girl, but you live in Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh.
You were close.
I was close, right?
Yes.
Right there.
Pittsburgh.
Okay, so that's where we talked to you from last time.
You were born in New Mexico?
San Diego.
Okay.
I mean, we're in the right regions of the country, I feel like.
And you're comfortable being on WFAN with us right now. No, I kid. Listen, so you're here in the big city. I mean, do you normally come to New York City, or is this...
I've been here a handful of times.
Yeah.
Always for work.
Now, last time we spoke to you, your husband was downstairs waiting for his coffee.
Yes.
Is he accompanying you on this trip to New York City?
He is not. I do believe he's listening, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
Okay.
He's
at work with, I don't know who made him coffee today, but probably Starbucks.
How long are you here for without him?
A couple days.
So it's funny because during the break before we came back on air, Brooklyn said, hey, I'm a little nervous. I said, well, hold on a second. You have sex on film in front of people. How could this possibly make you nervous? But I guess that's your, like, this doesn't make me nervous, but other things make me nervous.
If you came and did my job, you would be really nervous.
Terrified.
I feel like, you know?
Terrified, yeah.
I've never been in a radio studio before.
So you're suffering performance anxiety right now?
Yes.
Wow.
But see, I'm a girl, so you can't tell.
Right. You know, it's not fair, right?
Right.
So you could easily fake it.
Right.
But we can't.
I can fake that I'm totally calm, cool, and collected right now.
And you sound like that. So.
Yeah.
Thought about you this morning. The biggest story in the country today is about the NFL. Players kneel for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of players don't like to kneel.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
Yeah.
It's a prerequisite for your job to kneel, isn't it?
It is. I normally have a pillow, though.
You're a very good kneeler.
That's right.
I have a pillow, generally.
Is that you do?
Yeah,
can be rough. I mean, you know, a hard marble floor or whatever.
Yes.
Who needs that?
No, there's usually creative cropping, so there's a pillow in there. It's all about occupational comfort.
That's interesting. That's some little behind the scenes for us.
Yes.
Now, listen. We originally invited you on because of the Stormy Daniels thing. We figured if Anderson Cooper can do it on 60 Minutes with Stormy Daniels, we can do some investigative journalism with an adult film actress here on WABC Radio on the mm-hmm. Bernie and Sid Show. So we discovered that Stormy Daniels, of course, unlike yourself, who is open-minded and does not discriminate, she doesn't perform with black men, which you do.
We talked about this last time.
We talked about it. That's right. I just want to let the audience know we were doing investigative journalism, and we discovered that she made the conscious decision not to perform with black men, only white men, straight white men, I might point out, but whatever. So she's she may have some nefarious motives in her mind. She may be a bigot.
I don't know anything about that. I really don't know Stormy. She directed a movie that I was in, and she was very lovely to me.
Yeah, she was.
But not
nice to Tasha Raines.
You know, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
And for the uninitiated, Natasha Raines was sexually assaulted, she claims, on a set where Stormy Daniels was directing, and Stormy ignored it, took the side of the perpetrator, the Harvey Weinstein guy on the set, and told Raines to shut up, essentially.
You know, I read about that, and I was trying to remember years ago when she directed me who was on set, who was her crew. And I can't remember anyone that was on her crew that I was like weirded out by or creeped out by.
Just to back up your story, we did have another porn star, Elena Evans, on the show last week.
Oh, yes, I love her.
She's cool. She's also San Diego, by the way. And she said that story's nonsense. That never happened, and that's a lie. That Raines is lying about it. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't there, and I don't know. I have my opinion.
Do you find, I was telling Bernie this a couple of days ago, when you go to XNXX, maybe Pornhub, I don't know, one of these sites.
YouPorn.
They have something for Camster. It's like a 20-second commercial that leads up to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your movies. And the girl that's in the Camster video is Stormy Daniels. I mean, are you...
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Are you surprised?
I feel like she's everywhere right now.
Yeah.
I feel like she is sort of, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, the face of the industry at the moment.
What do you say good, bad, or indifferent, but you think it's bad. Be honest.
I don't know because I think just like anything else, there's fans that are totally supportive of her and want to see her everywhere, and there's fans that don't. Just like anything, when I dyed my hair blonde, I had people that loved it and people that hated it. And so I think with Stormy, it's the same thing. There's people that support her. There's people that hate her. So it's really
both
sides of the coin.
Let us, we discussed this last time you were on. I said part of our investigative journalism with adult film actresses like Anderson Cooper did on 60 Minutes. She slept with Donald Trump back in 2006. Oh, she had sex with him, she claims. Mm-hmm. And essentially, she kissed and told. She kissed and told, even though she got $130,000 to be quiet. She still went out and blabbed about it, which is something you don't exactly, you kind of frown on that.
You know, I think what happens, like I said, what happens between two consenting adults behind closed doors is their business.
Right.
And, you know, if there was a non-disclosure agreement, that's something all on its own. And
she should dummy up. And you actually voted for the president, I understand.
I did vote for the president.
How do you like that? Brooklyn Chase voted for President Trump.
So you like Trump. We like him, too.
Yep.
But I'm not going to call you a liar. I just met you. You're adorable. But if there was millions of dollars at stake, and I believe there's millions at stake. I know she got $130,000, but I do believe Stormy has a lot more money to make. And I believe that's why she's gone back on the whole. So when you say to me, I wouldn't do it, and I'm going to say to you, Brooklyn, but wait a second. There may be $1 million for you at the end of the block. I think you're going to do it. I really do. I really do.
I don't.
Wow. Have you had a situation?
But I've never been in a situation
okay,
like that.
So?
Right. Now, listen.
Now, sleep with somebody famous, then come back to me.
Right. No, absolutely. But though I might be singing a totally different tune.
Right.
You know, and she has said if people were coming to you and offering you four times the money for doing the exact same thing that you've been doing for years, who's going to say no to that?
Nobody.
Which is a very valid point.
Yeah, I think so. Right. But, of course, if you did sign an agreement and you're an honorable woman, no matter what your business – you abide by the agreement. I think you're leaning towards that, even though my partner's trying to lead the witness here.
Listen,
and try to lead you into astray.
Well, look, we're on.
Don't listen to him, Brooklyn.
We're under contract right now, okay?
Yes.
If there was a station down the block that said, behind the scenes, they called Bernie, they called me, and they said, listen, you're making X. We're going to pay you Y. Find a way to get out of your contract.
Trust me when I tell you, my buddy over here, who's talking about she signed a contract, he would be doing anything he can to figure out a way to get out because there's twice as much money. So let's stop the nonsense
He's projecting. He's projecting. He would do that. That's true.
I think it depends. Like, I have an agent. If another agent came to me and said, we can get you double the work, I would say, I'm sorry. Like, I'm in a contract. I'm loyal to who I'm with. They've done nothing wrong to me.
Bingo.
They've been good to me over the years.
I've ever heard.
Bingo.
It might be. It just, you know what? I mean, it's really early.
Brooklyn still. Chase, you're a noble woman. Listen, let me just say about Brooklyn Chase. She's got many, many vids out there, many videos out there. It's called Many Vids page, right?
Yeah.
Manyvids.com?
Manyvids.com.
And you can follow her on Twitter. Listen, there's all kinds of things for you out there. You've been on the cover of Hustler, Brazzers, all kinds of magazines. And what would you like to promote most right now? What are you doing right now that just tell people to go where for what?
Yeah, so my Manyvids page is my newest thing that I have, which is fun because it's... What are you looking at?
The tattoo of Braden. Calm down.
No, I'm like, you're like staring at me.
Up here, buddy.
I'm like, do I spill coffee on myself?
Everyone's staring.
I'm wondering who Braden is, that's all.
How dare you?
My Manyvids page is my newest thing.
What are you looking at?
I'm like, what are you doing? I'm already nervous enough and you're ogling me.
See that? I'm making eye contact.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Meanie's looking somewhere else.
Yeah. What was I saying?
Many vids
is fun because it's stuff that I shoot on my own. It's videos that I make in my bedroom or in the guest room of my house. It's videos that I shoot with like co-stars when no one else is around.
Cool.
Everyone goes on a lunch break and we go off and shoot a little thing. And so it's more, you know, especially those are more real than anything you'll see from a company because we set up a phone and then we do our thing. You know, or it's stuff that I have thought through in, you know, and spend the time to kind of produce. And it's very amateur, which fans love because it's real.
Right. Yes.
And so my Manyvids page is my new thing.
What about Brazzers House? You got a chance at that?
I was not. You weren't. I was not selected for Brazzers.
You weren't.
Idiots. They don't know what they're doing.
I was like, I was in the pool. There was a very small
pool. You made
the
pool. Last so final 10.
It stings a little. Oh, no, the final 10 are in the house.
Oh, sorry.
It was a very small pool, and I was not selected, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, well, Brooklyn Chase is, of course, are we going to keep?
Yeah, she'll stick around.
We're going to stick around for the next segment. We'll talk to Brooklyn Chase, adult film actress who voted for President Trump and is a noble young lady who would not break a contract for some extra shekels on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
Sid in the Morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, I'm Juliet Huddy with your entertainment report. Michael Rotondo, okay, he's not really a celebrity, but he kind of is a celebrity. Otherwise known as the lazy-ass 31-year-old who refused to vacate his parents' home. Remember this guy? Refused to get a job. Basically refused to be an adult. Well, looks like his luck may be turning around. One day after a judge ordered him to scram from mommy's basement, the so-called layabout millennial got a letter from online cam site Cam Soda offering him a job. Yes, Cam Soda, the site where porn stars like Stormy Daniels may be our guest in studio. Yes, Brooklyn. With a live stream, you know, their antics. So anyway, this Cam Soda site wants Michael as its next big star.
Oh,
and he
God.
Wouldn't have to be naked, though. No.
Please.
They don't want him naked.
He looks like Ron Kubi's son.
A little bit.
Yes.
Guys, with darker hair.
That's so
Jesus
true. I was
Christ.
Wondering. My don't God,
put this
so
guy
true.
On camera.
Well, this is the thing. They said that they're going to pay him $1,000 a month for up to 6 months to live stream his life 24/7. Basically, all he has to do is do what he's been doing, exist. Which, I mean, it sounds like a pretty good deal. We'll let you know if he ever actually gets up off his couch to respond. And the good news doesn't stop there. The Tuttles are together again. I never knew how to pronounce their last names. Paul Sr. and Jr., you know, the American Choppers guy, right. Orange County Choppers. Yeah. So they will reportedly appear together for the first time in 10 years on the return of the once popular Discovery show American Chopper. Dad and kid had a falling out back in 2009 after Senior fired Junior. They say working together too closely was really the culprit for their estrangement. So now they own separate businesses, but yet it's perhaps important to point out that there have been financial issues over the years. And although they say that they're back on great terms as a family,
They won't be working in the same shop together, no, but doesn't doing a show together kind of count as working together, which is what the problem was in the first place.
Got it.
Stay tuned. I'm Juliette Huddy, 77
you,
WABC, and now back to Brooklyn, the lovely Brooklyn.
Yeah. Back on the Bernie and Sid show, as Juliette just mentioned, with the beautiful adult film actress Brooklyn Chase. Voted for Donald Trump. Doesn't like the fact that Stormy Daniels is out there blabbing, kissing and telling. And by the way, unlike Stormy Daniels, she did not make the conscious decision not to work with black men. Brooklyn Chase is very open-minded.
Not only that, but I've met so many of these girls. I told you for years I would have the Exotica Convention girls come over to my morning show down in Miami for years. And a lot of the girls don't look in real life like they do on film. Sometimes they walk in and I'm like, oh my God, got a busted grill or something, or like a couple of teeth missing. But Brooklyn is in real life. She's
very wholesome.
She may
very
even stunning. Look better in real life than on film.
Yeah. You know, not to be full of myself. God, this cord is twisted and it's making me crazy.
She's obsessive compulsive too, by the way.
Totally. I hear that a lot, that I, you know, because it's true. A lot of, once you get the full hair and makeup and the lighting and the, you know, you look best.
Better. Right.
And I have heard that. I usually hear that I'm not nearly as tall as people thought I was going to be.
Right.
I'm much shorter.
No heels.
Yeah. Because right. I'm 5'3". I'm not a very large person. And I hear that I'm, you know, that I'm nicer looking, I guess, in person.
Yeah. Yes. So we would agree with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're beautiful in person. Here's the interesting thing. You're married. We talked about this last time. You've been married for a long time to a certain individual who works in the private sector. And it's interesting that you met him early, very, very early on in your career. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I had shot two scenes when I met my husband. And he turned out to be the most confident man that I probably has ever walked the earth or close to it.
So basically your whole career, you've been married to him. Everything you do on some of these vids, which you do a lot.
I do a lot.
And this husband of yours is very cool with all that.
He's
obviously.
Very, yeah, no. He's,
the hell's the matter with him?
No, he's awesome.
No,
I hit the gold mine.
You did. You hit the jackpot.
I did. Yeah. I hit the jackpot when I met him. He's very confident, and he knows that what I do on camera or what I do when I'm working is completely different than what
you know. When I look at my wife's phone, if I see a guy's name on a text,
do you know that
I get crazy?
Do you know that I have never once looked at my husband's phone? Never. Jesus. I don't even know the password to get into it, and I could not care less.
There you go. That's the way to be.
No,
nice and chill.
I have nothing to worry about. We're completely confident in our relationship and our marriage, and you know, he knows that I love him completely and totally, and I know that he loves me.
That's wild. Wow.
So it's great. That's great. I mean, I just, but what you do, you've never ever, you say sex is just sex.
Yeah.
You've never been with a guy on film where you, afterwards you were like, oh, that was actually more than just, I kind of like this guy. Never happened. You don't like the guy.
I mean, there's people that I really enjoy working with.
Okay.
There's people, I mean, there's one guy in particular that the director's like, I don't understand this, like, brother-sister banter you two have. Because we're just, like, we get along so well, and we tease each other, and we make fun of each other, and then we shoot a great scene, because we have a really good chemistry. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I show up wearing my wedding ring, and which I actually forgot to put on today.
Right.
I take it off, which literally, like, doesn't even
matter. We won't tell anybody.
No, he wouldn't care anyways. You know, I take my wedding ring off to shoot, and the first thing I do when I'm done is I put my wedding ring back on.
Nice. You know, a lot of people say that, there's two schools of thoughts. Females in pornography, they say it's empowering. It's great. Other people say it's degrading. It's it casts women in a bad light, and for other women, it puts in the minds of men that women are objects just to be, have sex with. I was going to say effed. But I can't say that.
You cannot say that. No, I would 100% say it's empowering.
Uh-huh.
You are the star of the show, you're treated with, I've in 6 years have never been treated with anything but the utmost respect while I'm on set.
But you've done rough films. Like the scene, the guy's allowed to rough you up a little bit.
Yeah, but there's always, beforehand, there's always a conversation. What are you okay with? What can I do? What can I not do? There's little things that we do if, you know, we reach back and you squeeze their leg or something. If something's too much,
stop.
You know, you kind of give them the Heisman. When you see that in a film, it kind of means like, okay, back off a little.
Wow, really?
You know, and I have been fortunate that I've never had a bad experience on set. I've always been treated well. And
well, the argument is, I was watching Jane Velez Mitchell not that long ago, HL and Bernie.
Sure.
And she says that porn destroys marriages because now the husband expects his wife to do what Brooklyn Chase does, and she just ain't going to do it. My question to you is, being that you do everything, I've seen it all, Bukkake, everything. So what do you say to your husband? What does your husband get from Brooklyn Chase that Peter North doesn't?
He gets, you know, there's an emotional connection that makes what we, you know, and I'm not saying that we are an old married couple that, you know, I don't know what I can say and what I can't say.
It's
not boring.
Right, it's wild. It's as wild as anything you see on film.
We've been together 6 years, so it's not like we've been together 45 years.
Right,
and we're in our early 30s, and we're still young, and we have a great time.
But he's allowed to do to you whatever people do to you on film, he's allowed. There's nothing that he can't do to you, right?
Right. Right.
Now with
good
the
deal
with the, that's not a bad, it's a fair trade, I guess. Look, with the proliferation of free porn out there, a lot of the performers now are turning to these cam girls, they call them, as Sid brought up earlier, or even stripping. Is that something that you do? You mentioned that you do the cam stuff already.
I do.
That's how you're making your money mostly now?
I'm on Cam Soda. That's what I do from home when I'm not, you know, because I live in Pittsburgh. I fly to L.A. to shoot or wherever. There's companies all over the country. But I do Cam Soda from home. And I'm actually about to start stripping.
Oh,
yeah. Really soon. I start here in New York, actually.
Where? Really?
Sapphire, New York.
Where? Well, when?
60th.
Oh, don't used to be Scores. Sapphire, the one on East 60th by Roosevelt. Yeah, it used to be Scores. You got to go to the Vivid Club, or you have to go to, Rick's, Lonnie Hanover, and Ronnie the Limo Driver from the Howard Stern Show. Those are the best clubs.
Rick's is right down the block, but Sapphire is a very prestigious club. That's a good, that's a high-profile.
First dancing.
And you're nervous about this.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, because I don't know if you can tell. I'm not the most, graceful person. I'm a little awkward and weird, and so I'm very concerned about falling on my face.
They're not performing the ballet up there. I mean,
no, but I trip over air and sneakers, so I'm a little concerned about being in these heels, and I'm just worried that I'm not graceful and sexy.
Yeah, but here's
enough.
The difference: a stripper who you don't know needs to have some of that.
Yeah.
So she garners attention before you walk on stage. You will have adoring fans there that love you.
Right.
So you can fall flat on your face. They're not going to care. So.
I know. And I almost feel like that's what they expect from me anyways. But, I've seen these other girls, and they're crawling, and they're all sensual. And I feel like I'm going to look like a six-month-old, just learning what to do.
So you've been practicing? You've been up swinging around a pole?
I've done a couple pole classes.
Nice!
Just because, and that's kind of the same thing, is I don't need to know how to do pole tricks, because as a feature dancer, it's a little bit different.
Sure.
But I wanted to learn how to do at least a couple things. But I have this very sweet girl who used to be a performer in LA that's sort of my instructor.
Yeah.
And so she's helping me with costumes and music and routines. And
now, will you do like strippers when they finish dancing? They go into the crowd. They sit on a guy's lap. You, because of what you do for a living, drunk guys, coked up guys, that's who you get in strip clubs, sweetheart, when that happens.
We'll never be alone.
Never
be alone. Always have, you know, the only time I would be
real. That's a good question, Sid. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I will have someone with me.
All right.
You know, and when you're there as a feature dancer, the club security is sort of heightened and aware.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. They're like Nazis in those clubs.
But I'm very much, you know, even at expos and stuff, I don't allow people to grab me or touch me. Just because I do this on film doesn't, give you free reign to grab me.
That's what the lady at on Stormy Daniels' website, Tasha Raines, was saying about one of the video guys, the touching right. her. She says, just because I'm on film, I'm performing, doesn't mean you're allowed to touch me, punk. Right. Hands off.
And I think that, you know, in a situation like that, like, to be honest, there are certain production assistants or camera guys or whatever that I've known for so long
yeah.
and have seen me do absolutely everything.
Sure.
And if they came up and grabbed my boob or something, I wouldn't care.
Right.
But if it's some random person
okay,
that
it's Bernie, but it's going to piss you off, right? Bernie right now did that.
No, I'd actually probably be okay. Because I feel like I know Bernie.
Look at his face.
See that now? That's not going to happen, by the way, but thank you.
Okay.
You can lay on the roof for 3 hours. You won't be that red later on today.
but if some random, you know, some random stranger, if I'm doing a lap dance or something after my show and yeah. somebody grabs me in a way, you know, I'm going to politely say, yeah, I don't think so.
Right.
Good for you.
Right.
Brooklyn Chase is in the studio with Bernie and Sid. She voted for Trump. She doesn't really care for Stormy Daniels, who's a...
Kiss and tell blabbermouth. You're going to get me blabbermouth.
No, she doesn't care for kissing and telling the way Stormy did. But other than the Stormy did, maybe you do like her.
Did you just say he's going to get you blackballed? Because I saw a video with you a couple of weeks ago. Oh, you got blackballed, all right.
No, blacklisted. I'm not worried about getting blackballed.
So listen, on set when you're doing film, I mean, is drugs a factor?
I have never seen drugs on set, not once ever.
How about condom use, stuff like that? I mean, everybody tested all of that stuff?
We test every 14 days
yeah.
for a battery of things.
Guys coming in, you know that they're clean. You know they're clean, right?
The directors, the producers all have that information beforehand, and then we also exchange it right before we shoot.
Because I would say about... I don't know, Brooklyn, 15% of the videos that I watch, guys wear condoms. Most of the time, 90% they don't, including yours. Why are those guys wearing condoms? What is that telling me as a viewer?
It doesn't tell you anything. So okay. Certain companies require condom.
Okay.
The majority don't. However, it is always an option.
Right.
So if
right.
I was to show up and say... I want to use right. condoms.
It ruins the scene. It ruins the scene.
They would say, no problem.
Yeah, but it's good. No, don't do it. It ruins it. I'm telling you, it ruins it. Well, even at the end when they open it up and all that stuff.
I have complete trust in our testing protocols.
Good.
How about this? Do you ever, listen, I hate to ask this question. Do you ever fake it in the movies? In the videos?
Yeah,
of course.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Really? The bigger question is, how about at home?
No, see, that's the one thing. That's you know, one of the things that my husband gets other people don't. Because for me, it's a very emotional thing.
Right. Right. So percentage-wise, how often would you say that you're faking?
Did I fake it on
yeah.
camera?
Yeah.
100.
100 times.
Wow.
It's an emotional thing for me.
Holy
smokes. You completely,
is that normal?
You detach yourself from these men. It's a complete detachment.
Even in my whole life, the only time, you know, even before I was in the industry,
yeah.
it's always been an emotional thing for me. Good. Some Joe Schmo isn't going to
no, you're get detached.
Me anywhere. But right. a boyfriend or, you know, someone that I really care about.
I don't know how this is possible. You're a wildly popular adult film actress who does many and varied things on the internet or whatever. And yet you're the girl next door.
Yeah, she is.
How could you be both? Yeah. Two in one right there.
Yeah, no, she is. Now, you no drugs. You drink. I know a lot of girls take a shot at tequila just to kind of get over the initial fright. I mean, first time you did a movie, you had to be somewhat nervous, no? Or not even that?
So the first time I did a movie, I remember they called action.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to walk on camera, and it was a massage scene. Okay. And I froze.
You froze.
And he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I don't know what to say."
Okay.
And he was like, "That's what you're worried about?"
You do the speaking role?
And I was like, "I have to talk, and I don't know what to say." I said, "I'm not an actress. I don't know what," and that was what I was most nervous about. So what was funny is a couple years later, my very first award nomination was for Best Actress in a movie.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, those were my words on my very first day is, "I'm not an actress. I don't know what to say."
Well,
so that's what I was nervous about. I wasn't nervous so much about being the film, a stranger or it being filmed. I was worried about having to speak.
Interesting. Brooklyn Chase, adult film actress, manyvids.com, and look at her on Twitter, Brooklyn Chase. I have to ask you about, speaking of drugs.
It's at @Brooklyn_Chase, @Brooklyn_Chase.
Very good. Sydney, now listen, speaking of drugs, Erectile dysfunction drugs. The guys, are they now widely using a Viagra and that type of thing in the Cialis. Industry?
It's there. It depends on what you're watching. The top performers for the top companies are all natural.
Right.
They are just good at what they do, and they are sexual people, and they, you know, like Johnny Castler, Xander Corvus, or like they are good.
Yeah. I know all those guys. They're pathetic.
You know them?
Well, not personally, but I know of their work, of course.
Yeah, no, they're some of my favorites. But they don't need anything.
Right.
You know, there are some guys, and it depends too how much they've been working, and it depends, you know, some people don't know, they turn off the air conditioning because it makes noise. So in the valley in LA, it's 106 degrees, and you're in a house with lights shining on you with no air conditioning, and it's very, very, very hot.
Oh, God.
You're in Vegas in a warehouse in the middle of summer. It's 130 degrees, you know, inside this warehouse.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's times like that when they might need something. Yeah. Just because.
And how would you know, though? Would you know in advance?
They're not secretive of it because it's not, okay. You know, I think it probably depends on who the girl is. But, like, to me, it's nothing to be ashamed of, or it doesn't mean anything about me.
No, nothing to do with you. I remember Tracy Lords was one of the biggest, the earliest in the industry, biggest stars. And she was very young, by the way, only 15. That became the big story. But she was famous for this. She'd have sex with a bunch of guys on screen, maybe two or three at a time, and the scene would be over. And she wanted to keep going. True story. And the cameras are done, and she's like, no, you're going to keep going. You're going to finish. And that's what she became famous for, that even when the scene was done, she kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Does that still happen, or is it basically the scene is done, I'm getting dressed and getting the hell out of here?
For me,
yeah.
You know, I'm a happily married woman, so when the scene's done, it's
done. You're done, right.
Yeah.
But have you seen other girls who
there
like...
There are, you know, I've heard stories about girls being... You know, just finishing hair and makeup, and they're about to start the scene, and they're like, "Where is everybody?" And the male and female talent are away in a room somewhere. No, they're not. They haven't even started yet.
Oh.
They're like pre-gaming.
That's the warm up.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. So I've heard stories like that. I've never had anything like that happen to me personally.
Gotcha. Wow. Well, listen, Brooklyn Chase, you're going to be at Sapphire in Manhattan on East 60th Street. You're going to be stripping there soon. Is this coming a few days or a few weeks or what?
A few weeks. I don't know if it's actually been announced yet, but and then I'll. But I, it has
just
been
was.
Yeah, I know. So maybe I should keep the dates here. I don't know. And then.
Well, look her up, folks.
Yeah, and then the following. Well, so now I just gave out the date.
The following week, June 8th, I'm going to be
at a later date.
Right.
I will be at Sapphire Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
That has been announced.
Now, that's a beautiful place.
There you go. So, a new venture for Brooklyn Chase.
Yes.
Getting up on stage and swinging around a pole, baby.
Oh, my God, I'm so scared.
Hey, listen. Great. You are adorable, I must say. Thank you for coming in. And congratulations on admitting that you voted for President Trump. We love that.
Of course. I've never made a secret of that.
You're the best. You're the best. So, on the Bernie and Sid Show, we thank you. Brooklyn Chase.
Great.
You can look her up. Manyvids.com. And just look up Brooklyn Chase. Google her. Will you, folks? And check her out. Show us some love on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the Morning.
All right. Nice job by Brooklyn. Great show all around. Andy Slater and Ruben Diaz Jr. We did it all from legalizing pot in New York City, kneeling in the National Football League, to Stormy Daniels.
To the newest, worst than Watergate scandal. We covered it all, Sid.
All of it. Now, there is some breaking news now. It turns out that despite Donald Trump's best efforts, at least for now, I think it'll be back on the table. But the June 12th meeting in Singapore between Trump and Kim Jong-un has been, I'm going to say, postponed. Not canceled, but postponed, right. And hopefully moved Bernard to a later date.
You know, a lot of things to work out. Not unexpected, really, when you're dealing with something as momentous as this. Everybody wants it to be just so.
But it is a little surprising, only because 2 hours ago, CNN reported that North Korea blew up a bunch of their tunnels, leading to their nuclear test sites.
Leading to a nuclear test site. They have many of them.
So that's just not enough? Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know who canceled this necessarily. I know the North Koreans, they called Mike Pence a political dummy. They don't like Pence and Bolton comparing them to Libya. And they want that stopped. So in conjunction, you had that development. Plus, they did blow up, as they had announced they would do, that nuclear site.
But everything just has to be right. Maybe it's just too early. They have to work out. There's a lot of preconditions. And again, Trump said, well, if it's not going to be June 12th, it's going to happen at some point. So just let's keep hope alive.
Okay. I'm keeping it alive.
Let's not despair.
All right.
The president put that Nobel Peace Prize on hold. But we don't want to disappoint Brooklyn Chase. She wants the president to win
right.
the Nobel Peace Prize for getting rid of the missiles. And that could happen.
Okay. I'm going on vacation for 4 days like you were. So whatever happens, happens. And
yes.
I'll start worrying about it about 9 o'clock Monday night.
If we're crawling around in the rubble from a nuclear explosion, well, so be it.
Are you going to the beach? What are you doing?
That's where I'm going, bro.
Going to the beach, baby.
I'm chilling at the beach, man.
We'll leave Sleeping. You in good hands. We'll leave you with Russ and Juliet.
And you, what are you doing?
I'm moving.
Nice.
But then I'll going to find a way to go to some very good restaurants.
Listen,
and
if you need any help moving...
Yeah.
I know a great furniture moving company.
I know it.
I'll give you the number after the show.
Don't call me, right?
No.
Everybody,
I'm there for you, bro.
Don't forget, everybody, on Monday when you are off, grilling those burgers and barbecues and drinking, having a good time on the beach. There's a reason why you're off that day.
Very good.
And that is for the young men and women that sacrificed their lives. Yes, the same ones that allowed you to kneel, you mother effers, during a football game. So don't forget, take a second from your beer and your hot dog and show some reverence and love for the kids that every single day are still serving.
God bless America.
That's right. So you can enjoy the silly freedoms here, like watching porn.
Stay woke.
See you on Tuesday, bitches.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Boy.
77 WABC and streaming at WABCradio.com.